This show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/joy right now to get 20% off of your first order. You can also save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. And don't forget, shipping is always free in the U.S. and Canada. So go to MeUndies.com/joey right now and get 20% off of your first order. This show is also brought to you by Texture. Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to Texture.com/joey. You'll gain immediate entry to all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to Texture.com/joey. That's Texture.com/joey. And go to onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to save 10% on all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Fucking believable. We're coming at you, cocksuckers. 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, motherfuckers. Woo. Look for a Chinese guy and get those fucking fireworks half off today. Today they're half off 4th of July. You're going to get stuck with them? What are you going to do? Put them in your basement. Listen to this groove I got for you, cocksuckers. Kick this muley. Kick this motherfucker, Lee. Kick this, Lee. Don't worry about nothing, Lee. Kick this motherfucker. Kick it. It's the 4th of July, cocksuckers. It's America's birthday. What? Smoke that fucking flag today, motherfuckers. The church of what's happening now. Oh, shit. Get up, cocksuckers. On a rocket ship, no time to wait. It's a beautiful day to be alive, motherfuckers. Make it happen. Bam! Take. Fucked up it's to the gills. Right, Uncle Joey. Right. What? Lee Syatt. Kay Quigley living in a van.
Hey.
Fuck it. Listen to that bass. Kick that mule, Lee. Kick that mule. Make it louder, Lee. All the way. I want them to hear this fucking bass. That's a black dude playing that fucking bass. Listen to this shit. It's connected to his fucking hand. Listen to it. You hear that? That's a black motherfucker right there. Happy 4th of July, cocksuckers. Here we go! Fuck yeah, Kate Quigley's in the house. Fresh from the Roosevelt Hotel, a.k.a. Chlamydia Central. That fucking place. You go in the pool and you get that rash Lee got up in that jacuzzi. And that fuck.
I hope not.
Lee went to a jacuzzi up in fucking Bear Mountain with his girlfriend. It was a romantic jacuzzi. He got in the tub. There was fucking sperm in there from 1920. He came back with fucking psoriasis and a fucking shit.
Oh, it was the worst. I always get it. And it's I can never go anywhere.
Did you really get a rash from a hot tub?
Yeah, I got a rash and a sty.
A sty in your eye?
Yeah, because I was an idiot and went underwater. But
oh, in a jacuzzi? Oh,
I just got in.
When you say you were at the Roosevelt,
yeah,
I put myself in your body and in your mind and in your eyeballs for 30 minutes just to see how the guys act. You know, Kate, come here. We buy you a drink. You want to meet her friend, his producer. Kayak, come here. Say hello to Kate.
That does happen.
Kate is beautiful woman.
Thank you. Actually, though, I went today.
What are you fucking thanking me for? This is the character of Ali Alau introducing to his friend Kayak. So you could get it together and start a production company.
I mean, right. That happened. I got offered several roles. Right. Actually, I took two girlfriends today who are much hotter than me. And so it was kind of fun because I just sat back
and I
let all the guys just talk to them. And I wasn't drinking. So there was no reason for me to talk to anyone, really.
You know there's somebody down there passing roofies.
A guy did come up to me and offer me a drink.
You got to be real careful down there, Jack.
One guy came up and offered a drink to my friend, and I made him drink it first in front of us.
When I fucking talk to you, I think all the things I got to do with my daughter, like early on, like don't talk to motherfuckers. Just don't talk to them. They don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You just keep fucking walking, you know?
It's so funny because my stepdad like instilled that in me that like all guys were up to no good, to the point of where it took me a long time before I would even like talk to any guys because I just thought that they were all trouble and that's all. But now I've gone the complete other way because I feel guilty. I feel guilty for prejudging guys when I first meet them. If they seem bro-y or douchey now, I try to be nice and give them the benefit of the doubt. So now I'll talk to anyone. That's what's happened. I'll talk to anyone.
You gotta fucking stop that shit.
No, it's good. It's a good thing.
Hypnotize you. There's hypnotists out in
LA. Come on.
I knew a guy that became a hypnotist, and I guarantee he left in a rush. And I always think of that. If he left because in years, these women are gonna fucking wake up and go, he banged me when I was under.
No way.
Guys will do a lot of crazy shit.
This I know.
Guys will do crazy shit. I've done some crazy things, but I was never really over the top. Like, I knew as I was doing it, I was like, wait a second. You got to check yourself, Joey. All you got to do is jerk off, and this will all go away. These creepy emotions and all these shit.
Is that true?
What do you mean?
That's all you have to do? Is the minute you jerk off, it goes away?
Let me explain something to you, Kate, how this works. I go out to a club, right? I bump into Kate. We start talking. Kate thinks I'm handsome. I'm a young 24-year-old guy. I got abs and shit. I'm smooth from Chicago.
Yeah.
I talk to Kate. I'm smooth from New York.
Yeah.
I don't hit on you, but I take your number to take a date, you know, and I ask you where you're going to be tomorrow night or something like that, right?
Right.
This is so weird because this happens to guys a lot.
And yeah.
Then tomorrow night I'll go out and I get two or three numbers or whatever. And I'm a good-looking dude. I make okay money. I'm college educated. I share a condo with some dudes. And I was watching Boomerang last night. Have you ever watched Boomerang?
No.
Boomerang is an Eddie Murphy movie. He plays a marketing executive.
Oh, yeah.
You should have seen his fucking apartment. Like waterfalls and fucking 10 TVs. They were watching the Knicks game. And there's 10 TVs and fucking, you know, the kitchen. And, you know, it caught in New York City. And you're looking at this going, this is 10 grand a month.
Yeah.
You know, then you could invite women up. You can't invite women up when you got a roommate and his name is Lee and he's watching the fucking ESPN. He don't get the hint. Lee, get the fuck up. I made salmon for it. And you want to talk about fucking the Boston trade.
Is the worst when there's roommates.
There's a roommate.
And especially when it's a grown up.
There's just so many little fucking things that. But back to the story. Okay, so now I got six numbers.
Yeah.
So I come home one night. I have a few cocktails. I do a couple lines of coke.
Yeah.
I get home about 1, and you know what, man? I start dialing. You start dialing those girls.
Really? All of them?
Well, you got 6, so now you're going to get one of them. You're in a great position because you got 5
And you're calling
five
you're
numbers.
Calling them. Are you texting them?
Whatever. What's happening?
Here's
what this?
Because here's
Steve,
the one note.
I met you the other night. No shit. Where are you? I'm at the club. Listen, I got some boozy. I got a gram of blow. Why don't you come over here? Well, I got my girlfriends with me. Lose them. You know, you put them on a fucking Uber.
Surprised you said lose them and not just bring them.
Yeah, but who the fuck? I got to deal with 3 bros now. I'm trying to get the 1. Now I got 2 of them.
Well, you got Lee as a roommate.
I got no Lee as a roommate.
Okay.
I'm a handsome, young, executive type. You know what, man? That's how it works. I go home with 6 numbers. I'm going to call them until one of them says yes or no or maybe tomorrow. What are you wearing? I got a hot bikini on for you right now. Okay, now I'm left with a thought. Now I got one place to go. I got either fucking one of those sites to get a hooker or something like that. So now before you do this, you've already called all your numbers.
Yeah.
You throw on fucking YouPorn. And you bang one out, and next thing you know, all those emotions you had, all those phone calls, gone.
Really?
You fall asleep with your dick in your hand and shit, with the coke still there the next morning.
That's true. That kind of works for me, too.
Because, that's it. This is what you wanted anyway. This guy's going to call you back in an hour when he finishes at work. An hour.
Yeah, you don't want to wait.
An hour. You're hot and bothered right fucking now to make this work. You got to get in that Uber right fucking now and come over here.
But I have a question about this because I always wonder this. Because I imagine guys, when they're in that mind space, when they want to hook up that bad, that they probably don't hit up one girl and then wait.
No.
They hit up all 6 at once, right?
They hit up. Well, no. That's
you don't
that's
send
amateur
like
game.
All of them?
No, that's amateur game.
What happens if you send
you gotta
one?
You got to call them and feel them out. That's an amateur show.
Oh, you call them.
You have
You're old school though. You call. You have to Guys call don't call.
You gotta call and yeah. see where I'm at.
I like the call.
You gotta call. What's going on with you? You okay? Do you need anything? Where are you? It's 2 a.m. What do you got in you? You got anything?
I don't know though. If I just met a guy and then
I just
called?
Haven't had an argument with some guy at the bar. I feel terrible. It's so happy that you called. I've been thinking about you. Bam! That's that fucking quick. And you've been there, Kate. You've been on the receiving end of that. You met some guy on Tuesday and now Friday you're at his house, you're tied up. And you're thinking about your life. Like, what the fuck happened to me? I was at a bar with 6 of my girlfriends. Now I'm over here tied up.
That did happen
last
night. I smell
like vodka. You know, it's fucking crazy how that hooking up lifestyle. I was talking to Lee one night. We got back. And I've mentioned this in the podcast 4 or 5 times because it was devastating, Kate. I'm 53 years old. I've never considered myself like a good-looking guy. I've never really like, you know, you give me 10 lines of coke, I'll go up to fucking Naomi Campbell and tell her pussy's bad, Jack.
Of course.
Like, yeah. I just go. I'll just say something to throw you off balance, and either you bite the hook or I walk out of there alone. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, I yes. come up to you. When I was 28, I come up to you with a gram of blow as good-looking as young. Go, Kate, you want to talk to this fucking accountant? Listen, I'll suck your fucking pussy till the bugle comes out. Get your drink. Let's get out of here.
Like
I just
that.
Turn around and
got
walk.
Turned on.
I just turn around, walk out, and I look back 3 steps later. If you were walking with me, oh my God, did I luck out? You know what
Shut
I'm saying?
Shut up.
Oh
you
my God.
Say it and turn and walk off.
You got
that. That would work on me 100%.
It's Anthony Robbins.
It totally works.
It's Anthony
yeah,
Robbins.
It works because then we're like, what the fuck just happened?
What the fuck just happened?
And then we follow you.
Listen, you do blow. Yeah. You do blow. You know, listen, I got coke from the Colombian. You ever watch Pablo Escobar?
That really does work.
I'm
yeah.
his nephew.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the house. I got some wine. I'll put a coke rock in your clint. We'll numb. I'll hit it with a hammer. You understand me? And then you just go, and right there, the girl's doing that.
You
She's
see
like,
what's happening to
Are
me
you
now?
Fucking telling me this at 2 a.m.
I heard Coke and Clint, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The women would just look at you and go, are you fucking retarded? Or they look at you and go, what about my boyfriend? Just follow me. Oh, my God. And I was telling Lee for an hour. Now, I'm not a good-looking guy. I don't play percentages. You know, you watch guys play percentages when you go out with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
You sit back and you go, watch these guys. These are percentage guys. They just go from broad
talk
to
everyone.
Broad to broad
yeah.
to broad. You talk to 12, you're going to get 3 numbers. You're going to bang one of them. Even if you got a little bit of money, a BMW 5 at the pool on a Sunday. I talk to 12 broads.
You're right.
I'm going to tie one of them up on a fucking Tuesday night when she least expected.
Yeah, you're right.
After the Viper Room. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
She didn't even shave. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just brought her home. She didn't even shave the monkey.
Oh,
bam!
Oh,
tying this shit up.
Hot.
Boom.
Sounds great.
So it's just so crazy how I was telling Lee this shit. And the more I talked to Lee, the more I was jogging my memory of all the disgusting comedy, disgusting drug-induced disgusting
sex that you had.
Disgusting. Just disgusting. Like, you sit there and you go, what are these women thinking 20 years later? Like, it was just a disgusting.
They probably barely remember.
They really do.
They probably were just as fucked up as you were on whatever.
I went
in
that night and I couldn't even sleep that night from telling
that
him
you were
the
telling
stories.
Him the stories.
Just, they were all coming out one after
Well, here's the thing. I think it's not that they forget. I think that one night with that story is their entire party story list. And you write them yeah. off like 40 in like 30 minutes.
Oh that God. Could be that night to them is because like I recently had like a crazy sexcapade thing happen where I was at first kind of embarrassed about it. And then I was like, no, but it's cool. Now I have like a wild, crazy sex story. Like for them, they could be like, you were their wild, crazy sex guy.
No. No, these people were crazy way before I met them.
Oh,
you know what I'm
right.
I just yeah. happened to be there at the
right
time,
place,
at
right
the
time.
Wrong time.
No,
they were gonna blow somebody. I just happened to be there.
Oh,
by the cigarette machine.
Oh, okay.
You know, standing there. Oh, just whatever. Going. I remember going to the being in my hotel, being in the condo across. The craziest condo ever was Miami Improv, Coconut Grove. If you chose the hotel, you had to walk 3 or 4 blocks. The only thing you had by there was Pollo Tropical, which is fucking tremendous. It's Pollo Loco, only with Cuban food.
Ooh.
So it's quick, too, like a bowl with black beans and a piece of chicken in and out of it. It's that chicken that, as you're eating it, you can taste the tears. They beat it. They stabbed it. They put it in a cage.
Yum.
They killed the mother in front of it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the best kind. The best kind.
They kill the chicken's mother in front of them. Fuck you, cocksucker. They fucking do things to those chickens. But that condo was, let me tell you something. When I think of that, sometimes like I'm driving and I think of that condo, I don't even think of a woman. I just think of the condo and my dick gets hard. Like, I gotta
shut up.
I gotta step it up.
Really?
Let me tell you how dirty the condo was. I would tie women up every time I go to that condo. And I went back 10 years later and all the ropes were still hanging on the sides. Let me tell you something. This is where it gets even sexier. It was a bed that folded into the wall. It was a Miami Vice condo for one. So you had your own private balcony overlooking the pool. You had a kitchen. Fucking the place would freeze up in the summer. Like, I love it cold. Women would freeze to death in there. I'd put it down to 40. It would freeze. There'd be fucking ice on the windows. It had a living room, but the bed pulled out of the wall, old school.
Murphy bed.
Like, you'd just be dropping it on, and all of a sudden you get them down to the bikini, and all of a sudden the bed would just come down. Bam! There you go. It's over.
You had the AC in Miami down to 40?
Oh, my God. 40. I broke it twice.
Shut up.
It would freeze up when I was doing coke because I'm in there snorting coke.
Did you tie these girls up and leave them there to freeze to death and just go out?
I would leave them tied up all night, wake up in the morning, and wake up before them and watch them realize that they were tied up. And they'd get up, and sometimes I cut them loose the night before, but sometimes
I would leave them. Holy shit, they must have freaked out the fuck out.
When you're doing an eight ball and you got a gram on your pussy and it's caramelized, the freaking out is over. You understand me? You got coke snots coming out of your pussy. You understand me?
Oh, my God.
It's disgusting.
Are you
think
serious?
Of the stories. One night I did coke till like 4 a.m. by myself. I jerked myself off to death. I go, I can't do this no more. I got to find the woman. I walked down to the news cafe and I started talking to this girl that was at 12. My boyfriend just left. Fuck him. I'm going to suck somebody else's dick. Captain America's right here.
Shut up.
Went back to the condo and she said if I could do a headstand, she would take her clothes off. I couldn't even do a fucking push-up. I did a headstand for the sake of...
She asked you to do a headstand fuck her.
If you could do a headstand, you're getting this pussy.
I think I'm making it too easy for guys. I need to start being get on your fucking head. Like, I've never done that.
Crazy stories. Wow. I was telling Lee about a couple that she was a fucking medical student.
Oh,
he was
God.
A pilot. And he was going, they had just graduated college. I would talk to this girl the way I'm talking to you for a year. Like, at the bar. Her boyfriend was the bartender working to be, he was like an apprentice pilot for the airline.
Yeah.
But this is how he was paying off his loans. And she was a medical student, like sweet Polly Purebred. I would talk to her and him like this, like, how are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Something happened. They put him in the back bar. I would talk to this girl. How were you? And I talked to her girlfriends would come. Her brother would come to the comedy club because they had like the boyfriend's my bartender type attitude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
She would bring her friends and I'd be the comic. I'd be the feature act. Every other fucking week I was in Miami as the feature act.
It's
so
awesome.
I talked to every fucking girl there.
Yeah.
I knew all the girls that came down there. And one year I go down there and I'm there way before my wife. I'm down there. I'm not even, you know when you're not even thinking about it. It's not even in your head. It's fucking...
No, I don't know
what
that's
Valentine's
like.
Day. Nobody's going to suck a dick randomly on Valentine's Day.
What are you talking about? That's like the day to do it.
If you have a boyfriend, not to go to the bar and hook up with somebody. So she's at the bar whining that he has to work. What kind of man works? And I'm sitting there going, and I'm minding my own business. And all of a sudden she comes home, she goes, do you do coke? Yeah, I do it. She goes, do you have it? I go, yeah. She goes, can you give me a line? Can I buy a line from you? I go, no, I'm going to go do a line right now. You know, whatever. Just walk me to the bathroom and I'll give it to you. She goes, no, because then people will know. Walk to the thing over there by the parking structure. So I walk to the parking structure. I give her two bumps. I do two bumps. We talk, blah, blah, blah. We talk. And then I don't know how it happened. My dick popped out of my pants, and she dropped to her hands and knees.
I don't know how it happened.
I don't know how it
it's
happened.
It's a great guy story, by the way. No idea how it happened, but out came my dick.
It wasn't creepy. Like, I couldn't be creepy with her. I knew her.
Well,
so something had to happen.
Did you have, like, the shorts on the head, like the fly?
No, I had no shorts on. No, I had no fucking shorts on.
His dick did not just pop out. You pulled your dick out.
No.
It seems like.
Then she went for it. She took your dick out.
We started talking about something, and she was, like, talking about that she had underwear on.
Yeah.
Nice underwear. Okay. Valentine's Day.
Oh.
She had to see him. I had to see him. So I go, let me see him. And she just dropped his skirt and she had a thong with her ass on fire, the whole thing. I touched it. She turned around, touched my helmet. One thing led to the other. You pull it out. Next thing you know, and then we go back to the thing. She sits there again. I do the show. I come off. I'm like, you're still here? Yeah, let's go do another line. went into another line. Bam, again. Now this one, this was how crazy this was. This went on.
Wait, this all happened in a parking lot.
This all happened on the third floor of a second floor of a mall.
Right on the second floor of a mall.
Right before you go to parking. Here's what gets creepy. We continued our relationship. Like, I didn't go back down there for like 3 months. And I got back down there and I see him. And I think we're going to fist fight. He's like, how you doing? I missed you. He goes, me and the wife were just talking about you the other day. And I'm like,
they got married?
No. They were like engaged and shit. So now nothing else had happened between us. He goes, you should call her. She wants to talk to you. He gives me like the phone number. And I'm at the bar. And I'm like, what's up? How are you? And I go, you're going to come down here? And I go, what, you filthy animal? And she goes, who's this? Joey this. She throws the phone down. I go, I'm in trouble. About 10 minutes later, the phone rings. So like, Joey, it's for you. She goes, oh, my God, I overreacted. Where are you? I'm at the airport. She goes, I'm coming right down.
What?
This went on.
That's a crazy person.
She's crazy.
This went on for 6 months. That she would come down, have four drinks. I'd get a package. I'd tell him, we're going to go to a bar. We'd go to the condo. We'd get it on, and we'd come back like nothing happened. Here's what gets even creepier. This is where it gets even creepier. This would happen at 9:15 because I wasn't the headliner. I was the feature.
Right after you came off?
We'd come right back at 9:15 and go, it was kind of empty, the bar. Then, this is where it gets fucking crazy. At about 2, I would walk over to the Dolphin Bar and they'd be there. And I'd sit with them. And he'd tell me how she needed a line of coke. And I'd go, let's go. And we'd go to the bathroom lot.
No.
And right with him in the booth, we'd get it on the bathroom. Jesus Christ, it was horrific.
What kind of boyfriend sends his girlfriend to get a line of blow with a guy?
They're married
now. And then, no, they weren't married. They were engaged. And then there were nights I would get back to my condo at 4 or 5 and call him.
Dude, he knew. He knew. He had to know.
I would call him. He was a drunk. So I would call him at 5 and he goes, what's up? How are you? We're all here partying. Come over. And I go, I can't. I'd be coked up to the gills. I go, I can't come over. And he go, you want to talk to her? I forget what her name was when I talked to her. And I go, come over quick. She go, give me 15 minutes. I'll pass out. She'd pass out. She'd come over at 5. We'd 69 for an hour. She'd go right back over there and sleep and wake up with him. I never questioned. I never said nothing.
Did you ever feel bad?
At that time, listen, at that time. I was a feature. I'd get $600 a week just trying to fucking do what.
Get by.
I was just trying to be a comic and write jokes, and this was part of my lifestyle.
He knew, though?
Listen, I got on a bus one fucking time to go to Buffalo, and I met this girl. And 3 minutes in, she's telling me how she's the best stripper in Syracuse, but she had to leave Syracuse because the health department was looking for her. For health code violations and shit. Like the chick had syphilis or some shit. Ew. So she had to go dance for a week before they caught up with her. I don't know what she had.
They're stripping health code violations?
In New York stripping? At the time, I guess so.
Oh, my God.
You know,
okay.
Again, and she's like, do you have any money? And we fucked right in the bus. I mean, this was a comic's life.
I am a comic. I don't have this life.
You have no idea.
I want that life,
Being in Detroit. At a comedy club and talking to this girl about her boyfriend for an hour. And then her going, do you want to go smoke a joint? Me and my girlfriends. Yeah, we go to a bar. We're shooting pool. She goes, do you want to ride back to the hotel? Absolutely. She goes, let me give him a ride back. I'll come back. On the way there, she's telling me how she likes it in the ass. People to come and harass. That's her main fucking thing.
No one ever said that to me.
I'm sitting there going, how is this possibly happening? If I was good looking, I could see. But I'm just a dirty fucking comic.
It's because you're funny. Girls love funny dudes.
We went back and had a relationship. She had a boyfriend that was on the road. Whenever I would come to, I would just come to Michigan just to stay with her for a week.
Everybody's side piece.
And this is where it gets even kinkier. Her husband lived in the house with her. It was one of those dirty white people families where they got divorced, but he won't leave. He fucks chicks next door and she fucks guys next door and the kids live in the basement. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I could write a book. Just on those escapades.
Oh, my God.
Just on those 10 years being in Idaho and the fucking, like, the guy under the general on the base is blowing me behind the curtains. Like, the guy under the general on the base, and everybody kept saying to me.
A guy?
No. The chick that, no, the guy under the general, his wife. His wife.
I'm like, Joey, damn.
No, his wife is.
Now we're getting real.
This is where it gets crazy. His wife is giving me a blowjob behind the stage. And all of a sudden, somebody opens the curtain, and I turn around. Guess what? You think she fell off my dick? Hell no.
No.
She held on to that Johnson, and I dragged her for like 4 feet. A little fucking dirty feet.
Shut up.
This is just...
You're lucky to be alive. You're lucky that no one's husband killed you.
Husband? You know, I was telling him about El Paso. In El Paso, in the old days, the week started on Tuesday and it ended on Saturday. So Tuesday was hookup night. You would either hook up Tuesdays or Wednesdays with some fucking Mexican chick down there. And by Friday, she'd be coming back introducing you to her husband.
Oh, my God.
And you're
God.
Going, I never asked you. You never said nothing.
Next way.
It was, you go on the road and you really find out about the human mind. Like, years later at the Comedy Store, there were comics that would get their dick sucked while the girls were on a date. They'd get up to go to the bathroom. The comics would take them in there and they'd go right back and sit next to their dates. You know, and you, now you can't.
Who does this?
You can't say nothing bad about these people because after a while, I started looking at it as human behavior that you get into experience. You know, people live for 100. And I could see if I had a badass car or if I was Johnny Valachi or if I was a gangster. But at the time, I was just a dirty comic going from town to town doing 25 minutes. And you really learn about fucking human behavior.
About fucking.
No. Listen, listen, I come in a minute. And in those days, I would come in 30 seconds, man.
Shut up. Me too, kind of.
So it's kind of fucking embarrassing, like, that these things happen. But I sit there sometimes and I feel sorry because this is somebody's mom. I was telling Lee when I was in Boulder, Colorado. I'm doing blow. It's 4 a.m. I can't find my roommate's coke. He's got it with him. I got to go rob him at this party. I get to this party. I go downstairs and chick goes, you want to play ping pong? We're playing ping pong.
Ping pong, a euphemism for?
Nah, okay. Ping pong. Real Chinese ping pong. Ba, ba, ba.
Chinese.
This went on.
Ba, ba, ba.
Next thing you know, we started playing ping pong where you take your shirt off if
right.
you lose.
That's how you play.
Next thing you know, we're both naked.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she's telling me how she has to get up in 2 hours and go to her son's Little League game. You know, and here I am fucking putting coke rocks in her ass in 69.
I don't think it's that bad, though. I feel like...
It's terrible.
No,
it's
Joey,
disgusting.
It's not. No, it's not.
It's fucking
You're young
disgusting.
And you're having a life.
Oh, at the time.
At the time.
Oh, my God.
This wasn't last week. You're allowed. I'm just starting to have a life. I'm just starting to do that shit. I'm just starting to. I'm just starting to learn the casual sex. I never did it. And you're inspiring me because...
No, it's disgusting. That's not casual sex. That's fucking bigotry.
No.
Listen, casual sex is me meeting you on Match.com. Me buying you a few dinners, respecting you. And one night we go for cocktails and we fucking suck. And then something happens. You don't like the smell of my feet. You find that I got a sleep apnea machine. There could be 1,000 things. You know what I'm saying? I find out you have other boyfriends, that you date other guys.
Right.
I don't like that.
Right.
I thought you were a Christian girl. Whatever. You know the fucking guys, how fucking creepy they get. Every guy has that little fucking thing in his head. And all of a sudden you're like, I just found this out now. We've been together for 7 months. Now you tell me you don't like when girls
That never
share.
Happens to me. Because I say everything. I say everything up front, like things you shouldn't even. The other day I told a guy while we were having sex that he'd be a hot gay guy. He goes, it's not something you want to tell a guy while his dick is in you. And I was like, I'm sorry, but it's just, it came to me. I just say whatever's in my head. Joey, I want to have what you had.
No, you don't.
I want to just, look, here's
it's
the thing.
It's disgusting.
But
It's embarrassing to talk about.
It is? Okay.
I think it's, you know, and those were just. The fucking, that's just like a quarter of them. Like, you know, the drugs really added to it. Like, let me talk to you about drugs.
Quit cocaine.
You see the mentality of women with drugs. I mean, Lee, you can know a woman sleep with her 4 times drinking and then sleep with the same woman on coke and it's 2 different fucking savages.
It makes you crazy.
And it's what guys like.
So hot.
Why is it so hard sober? Because, like, I'm realizing that I don't have these stories because I'm not much of a drinker. Well, there's other reasons, but I'm also not much of a drinker and I never did coke. Like, it's...
Well, drinking is one thing. All right, getting drunk with a girl and you fuck and now you get dead dick and you both pass out and somebody pukes. That's one thing. But
girls on cocaine
when you're doing it and you have it planned, or not even like
not
bump
planned.
Into Kate, what's going on? Nothing. I got an 8-ball. Let's go back to the house. And Kate and me have been friends for years, but at 6 o'clock after you snort an 8-ball, things happen. You know what I'm saying?
But show it's me different for guys, right? Because guys have a trouble staying hard on cocaine,
right? Either in the beginning, it's a trick. They trick you. You don't come and your dick stays like fucking a wall. And then one day, it just it stops all working. Changes. And it drives you crazy for a year because you just told this girl you were going to fuck her till her ears fell off. And now you're beating yourself.
Right.
And you're telling her to play with herself. And, you know, you're doing creepy fucking shit. You know, and that's the shit that has always bothered me. That's the shit that had always that's always bothered me. It was the creepiness on the drugs. Like, what are those people thinking today?
It makes you
like,
make...
And I'm not saying that they're going like, but at one point, somebody must say to them, so, come on, we've been together for 20 years. How many guys have you slept with? And you're the idiot going to say, well, then I tell you I had a threesome once. Now that puts doubt. You can't take them that deep. But you could tell them, like, well, a guy had a carrot up my ass one time or whatever the fuck, you know, whatever. Because on coke, you do that dumb
Oh, my God.
Shit.
It's true.
You do dumb.
That's why I stopped.
Oh, please.
I was making bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
Bad life choices.
Oh, no.
Bad sex choices.
Bad sex choices.
I did bad. I didn't. Can I tell you? Okay, I haven't told this story on anything. This is embarrassing as fuck. But because I love you and your people will love this story, I'm going to tell it. I was doing some blow and I was hooking up with this guy that I probably shouldn't have been hooking up with in the first place because he's a porn actor. I don't like to call him star, whatever. Porn guy. I never let guys fuck me in the butt.
Oh, no.
I don't, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid not of the pain. I'm afraid of like hemorrhoids and cancer and poop. That's the truth.
Wait. Anal sex can give you cancer?
I read a statistic that said that it increases your risk. I'm just
the craziest thing is, what if you like it?
I knew I would like it.
Like, what if you?
I knew I would like it. Like, I knew I would like it because I like other things, you know. There.
Leave it.
Okay. But I'm assuming since he's a porn guy, it wasn't like a small penis.
It's fine. It's good. It's a good size, but it's not too big. It's not like he's not like that black dude with the foot long dick. Like, it's pretty normal. So I decided if I was going to try it, he's the guy to do it with, though, because he's an expert. Like, he's a professional, and I figured he would know how to do it without her. Joey is horrified.
I know.
Okay, so I love
him. I could talk this shit. I don't like when women talk this shit. It makes me crazy. It drives me nuts.
I'm sorry.
My face gets red.
I know. Look how bad he's blushing.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
So that's not even the important part of the story. I let him do it, okay? And actually, I liked it.
Right. No shit.
It was great.
It's a party.
It was great.
And guys act fucking creepy on it. When a guy knows that he can fuck you in the ass, we get creepy.
Guys love it.
We get extra creepy.
Especially when they know it's a first, like he knew I never did it before.
Oh, yeah, he went nuts.
Okay, so then, but here's the thing. The next day, for me, it was kind of a big deal because I was like an ass virgin. I felt like I gave him something special, you know? But for him, it's nothing. It's a walk in the park because he does it all the time. So the next day, he never texts me to say like, hey, great time. Thanks for coming over. Like anything, you know, which apparently my guy friends say is not a big deal since we'd hooked up many times. But I thought I deserved a special text
something,
this day,
sure.
Right?
A flower, a burger, something.
Hallmark doesn't make the
maybe a peach
anal sex card.
No, they don't make that card. So I call my friend and I'm complaining. She picks up the phone. She's like, hey, Kate, what's up? I'm like, I'm so pissed at this guy. Can you believe I let this motherfucker fuck me in the ass? I never let a guy do that before. And he didn't even text me today to say thank you. He didn't call me. He didn't say shit. And I'm really pissed. I don't know if I should never talk to him again, if I should end it. And she goes, sir, I'm really sorry. My friend's a comedian. She doesn't really filter her language. Kate, I'm in an Uber pool and you're on speakerphone. So I said this in front of an Uber driver and two other guys that were in the Uber with her. And then while I'm still on speaker, the guy goes, oh, she sounds hilarious. Who is she? And my friend goes, oh, her name's Kate Quigley. She just hosted the AVN Awards. You should check her out. So like 20 minutes later, I get a follow on my Instagram and a comment from a guy that goes, hey, I was in your friend's Uber. I hope your asshole's not too sore. On my Instagram. And then the next day, he's like, if you ever want to hang out sometime.
Maybe,
like,
sure.
No.
Oh, you get a lot of friends when you tell people. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to do it regularly. It was like an experimental thing.
Sure,
it's not good.
Sure,
I was saving
right.
it
yeah.
for love. Right, I wanted it to be the thing that I gave the next guy I loved. You know, because
it's just a mistake. Just write it off and don't tell the next guy.
I'm never telling. I can't ever tell any guy ever that I hooked up with a porn guy. I learned that lesson. You can't do that.
No.
guys get a little like, it would be like me telling
why
you.
Why are you inviting me over here? You already got the dick of dicks. You're going to make me come over here and feel fucking irregular? And then after 6 months, you're going to drop on me. Well, I've been going and telling my friends, I've been drilling the shit out of Kate. Her eyeballs are flying out of her head. Little do I know, she banged fucking Johnny Ludwig. And, you know, he shot all over and whatever the fuck. So it's kind of fucking weird, you know, yeah.
It is, but you know the great thing is if you do tell them, ladies, even if it's not true, I say tell guys, actually, because they try harder. Because they're like, oh, she banged a porn guy.
Fuck no. Guys are like, forget, I ain't following that, would you? It's like going to the store and like following Ron White Chappelle in front of CBS. You're like, I'm not doing this shit. It's over. They already cracked it. That's it. What do I need to go in there for? I'm going to send the flowers.
Really?
That's the other thing. Once a guy fucks you in the ass, there's no more dinners. You know what I'm saying? There's no more dinners. There's no reason to take it to
sure?
the movies no
what's,
more.
What's the best date
what?
You can get?
Really?
Yeah. Like
that makes sense that you're
once
right.
Once I fuck you in the ass, game over. There's no ring. There's no nothing. That's it. It's over.
I should have saved it for the ring.
Well, once you like a guy enough, you say to him, listen, let's experiment. You know, I've never done this before. You know, jelly that muffler up and send it home for mama. That's it. And fucking take your best shot, big shot. And that's it.
Jelly that muffler
and that's
up.
When on wedding night or something, you know. And he'll ask you, you never did it before? And you go, no. And he'll fucking.
I've never done it.
That's when they go fucking nuts. That's when a guy will go nuts. I'm going to be the first one to bust this fucking muffler and. It's over.
But then they'll never take you to dinner again.
No, by that time you married him, he's already taking you to dinner. But if in the beginning, if a guy fucks you in the ass, listen.
It wasn't the very beginning. It wasn't the first time.
You're never going to hear from that dude.
I have heard from him a little.
Yeah, right. But yeah. That's it. Game
over.
You're
right. The romance is done. It's
done. There's no romance.
That's good.
Or we fall in love even more. Listen, the next day, either when you wake up, there's a dozen roses with like a finger cut off.
There was not.
Or you never hear from this motherfucker again. Like the next day, I'm all in.
I learned a lesson.
Because if I'm, listen, in different times of my life, like when I was 27, no. Before I went to prison, I was unlonely. I was a fucking savage then too. It was like when I first started comedy and I went back in 95, I was fucking lonely. So if a girl would have came to me and said, you know, bust me in the muffler, I would have fainted. I would have fucking fainted, like just dropped. You know?
I didn't put it like that.
Well, I know. You know, you got to say, you know, put it back. You got to turn around and look at your asshole.
I didn't even say I wanted to. It just happened in the moment. It was like he just wanted to. And I was kind of like, I'm not sure. And then before I knew it, he was like, too late.
You spread all fours and just throw your toilet paper up in the air. And they know exactly what you're talking about. That means I surrender. It's over. Stick it in there, big boy.
Dad, I'm sorry.
To me, again. This is where you're going to fucking die when I tell you what I have to tell you.
Please.
To me, when I did it, I felt so fucking disgusting.
Really?
Like, after I did it.
It's gross, right? It is gross.
I thought that I wanted to do it. And I wanted to do it to this specific girl. And I was telling Lee this story that I used to give her a stab at night when we were sleeping. I'd get up in the middle of the night and just fucking torment her.
Shut up.
And one night she was sleeping on her belly down and I just put it in a fucking muffler.
You did not while she was asleep?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Joey.
Yes, I did. I was young.
Oh my God.
I was stupid.
Did she wake up?
No, she stayed there like a Cosby victim. Fuck yeah, you wake up. Somebody puts their dick in your asshole.
I don't know.
You wake up.
It didn't, when I did
I was in love with her. But she was like, we'll talk about this later. And I'm like, no, we got to fucking do this. I'm a
so
savage.
So your answer was just shoving
was,
her bum?
I was downstairs doing coke, all coked up. I'm going to go up there and just fucking go for it when
this
she's sleeping.
This is why you don't do drugs.
So she don't think about it. And we finished it and everything. She didn't say take it out. I mean, it was good while it was happening to get woken
once
up.
Once it's in, it's fine.
Yeah, once you get woken up with a dick in your ass,
you're fine.
You're fine. It's waking up and somebody's creeping it around your ass.
Is that setting on your iPhone? You're like, 6:45 a.m., dick in ass.
Yeah, you feel the maple syrup around your ass.
I don't know, but can I just say, I just want to say that when I did it, the guy was really good. It never hurt. I was never sore the next day. It never hurt.
Well, he's a professional. It's like when I go give blood. If the fucking some dude off the street takes blood on me, it's going to hurt. It's the lady who does it every fucking day of her life.
I know, and that's why I don't think I would ever do it with a regular guy.
They threw your mind off, you know, because a regular guy will flip you over.
Yeah, and he'll just shove it in there.
He'll just put saliva in your asshole, or he'll let the monkey juice drip, and then he'll hang you upside down.
one's hanging you upside down, Joey. No,
that's
one's
old school. That's old school. I used to hang them upside down and then drip into the muffler and everybody's happy. But
good Lord.
This was not what we had planned tonight.
What? You didn't have ass sex written on the sheet?
No, not at all. I was going to talk to you about life, but, you know.
This is my life right now.
No, listen, I am, like, I would never tell my wife any of these stories.
Oh.
Like, I would never even consider.
She doesn't watch this?
No.
Oh, that's good.
She doesn't watch it.
That's good.
Listen, I would never tell anybody, like, this is.
It's private between you and us.
This is 20 fucking years ago. This all happened between 90 fucking 3 and 2000. Guys, what I ran in for was a lesson in life. Instead of a college degree, I got a life degree on psychology. Just how people think and why they think that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking tremendous. Like, it all goes into the comedy. You see how people say to you, "Kate, go on the road. Kate, go on the road." Especially when you're young. Go on the road. Go on the road. Go on the road. Because not only do you learn about the stage, but you learn about fucking human psychology. Like, just to create. And it's not the things people do, it's the thing you're doing for your dream.
Yeah. That's
and this
true.
Is all part of your fucking dream. Like, this to me is all part of it that I've tucked away, Kate. And one night, me and him, it just started coming
out. That's awesome.
And my heart was beating, and I was sweating, and my fingertips were getting numb because this is stuff, like, that's painful now. Like, you're like, this was pure disgust. And you gotta assume 80% of these girls did these disgusting things because of the drugs.
Yeah, but also, like, maybe they were, I feel like I've been going through a period lately, and maybe you did, where it's like you're learning about yourself and you're doing things you've never done before and you're like exploring, and it all makes you part of.
Listen, when I was 25, I knew that I would always come fast. Okay, I always knew.
You just gave up at 25?
All that shit.
Are
about
you serious?
Candles. That shit about candles and bubble baths. That
you don't
work
still, do
world.
You? Do you still come in a minute?
Horrible.
Really?
Horrible.
You should try some of this, like, Buddhist stuff I heard about.
Listen, when I was in Boulder, I tried that shit. The breathing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I got to be strictly honest with you. I was so turned off by sex over those years. I really don't want to fix this problem. Like, I have a wife.
Yeah.
I know where I stand
she
in my
doesn't
mind.
Care?
I mean, at this point, you know, I gave her a kid in a minute. You know what I'm saying? It worked.
Can I ask you a personal question?
I eat ass. I eat pussy. I suck your
good.
Titties. I finger bang you to death. I pull your hair.
You
I
do
call
everything else.
I'm an animal.
I'm sure.
So I got to do certain things. Like, I have to have you give me a blowjob first.
Yeah.
And then after I come, I have to eat your pussy for a while. And that's how I get hard again.
Sure. That's okay.
And then
okay.
while I'm eating your pussy, I play with my ball sack and boom, we put it back in there.
But then is it just another minute again?
No.
Then you're good.
Then I go
that's
for
very
hours.
Common.
But I'll tell you what. There's sometimes after I eat your pussy, like I'm done too, because I'll crack another nut while I'm eating your pussy.
A lot of guys like
I'm
that.
I'm one of those dudes.
I like that.
That I crack a nut. So that nut that I crack while I'm eating your pussy is a complete different nut that I cracked before. It's like a weird psychological nut. Like, it affects my body. So after that, I would have to do coke to bring me back up because my dopamine would be fucking gone. There was no dopamine left. I just shot it on my leg. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing left. Like, this is, like, I've thought about this. Like, for years, I've, you know, when you're home and you're driving somewhere, you have to give yourself some frame of thought. So I take a timepiece of my life, and I try to think about it. And the day that I never even thought about that timepiece, that disgust, that, and it just wasn't on the road. It started in Boulder. It started in Boulder with women that were friends of mine. Like, I would look at it and go, this girl, I'm never going to fuck her. So, what, I'm not going to talk to her? I'm making my ally. You go out with this girl, you pick up a piece of ass. I would go out with these girls and pick up a piece of ass.
Yeah.
Just for hanging out with
I
these girls.
I have guy friends like that.
Because they want to go.
Yeah.
The girls want to go, why is she hanging out with them? There's a reason. She's touching them. And me and you have nothing going on, but you're touching me. You're acting like you're my friend. That girl over there was going to say, what's he got? He's got a big dick. He's a little chubby. You know what I'm saying? But maybe he's packing
he's
heat
rich.
Down there. Whatever. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. So I had these girls. And all of a sudden, the way we are friends, come over. I got, what do you have to drink? I got a half a bottle of vodka. And how much coke do you have? 3/4 of a gram. I swear to my mother's grave, while they were there, like, there was one girl. I knew her parents. I know her fucking parents, her brothers, her sisters. I had heard she was kind of crazy, but that wasn't for me. And I remember one night I got a call from her at like 3 a.m, kind of asking me if I had powder, that she was all alone and she wanted to come over. When I first started comedy, when I first got separated from my wife, and I always just thought about it, but I go, nah, you know, I know her parents. Why even go there? And she came over one night. I asked her, I go, I got to go to this party. I'm in a bind, dog. I don't have a girlfriend. Can you just put a nice dress on and just make believe we're on our third date? And she was like, yeah. And I figured I'd take care of her. Like, I used to, her friends owned this restaurant. I'd give her like a gift. And you know what? I had like an 8-ball. A bunch of people got coke. I was broke. And I was just taking a gram out of each package. And we ended up with like 4 fucking grams. And I go, you want to come over? And she's like, yeah. And you know, she went over there as a friend. And next thing you know, about 5, she's like, dog, we're friends, but I'm taking this dress off. And I had never seen nothing like that in my life. I was like, well, you might as well take the panties off. And then I wouldn't see it. It all started. And I would sit for days and think about that. Why did that happen? I'm living in a basement with a Sony Trinitron.
That happened because you had drugs. Don't you think?
Would you ever have sex in that period without drugs involved?
Exactly. All the crazy sex I've had that I probably shouldn't have involved drugs or a lot of alcohol, but mostly drugs.
If you want to get fucked or fuck people, go to El Compadre.
That's what you always
do.
Say.
Do the coke and go to El Compadre. I saw
why El Compadre?
Because that's where professional dick suckers go, and that's a professional. Like, if you want to be hypnotized by the best, like, 1 minute you're talking to them about politics, and the next thing you're at their house naked on all fours, go to El Compadre just to see how real savages work. How real motherfuckers.
I've been to El Compadre so many times, and no one has ever tried to take me anywhere.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
has
never.
Has anybody asked you to do powder there?
Never.
That's crazy.
No one's ever offered me any there.
I saw things in there. Up to 2005, I saw crazy things. I wasn't participating in them, but I saw, I would go, how the fuck did that just happen? Nobody caught that.
Well, do you remember they closed not that long, like a couple years ago, and reopened? I wonder if they got like busted or something, maybe.
No, I think somebody died. The father died or something.
Oh.
And the Comedy Store. Let me tell you something. I was telling Lee about the Comedy Store. And I'm not talking about waitresses. I'm talking about civilians.
Yeah.
There's one particular night that killed me. It was a Monday night. You know,
potluck.
If I say to you, come down on Monday night, Kate, you're probably going to go work, do shit. I mean, you're going to get there. If you do a little taste test, your pussy's going to be a little wang to it. But it's acceptable. If something happens, you know what I'm saying? You follow me?
Okay.
You didn't get a chance. On a Monday night, nobody thinks anything's going to happen.
Right.
So I'm hosting.
Okay.
I'm hosting the potluck? 10 to 12.
Yeah.
The 10 to close. And in those days, I would host, put somebody up, and then put Dice or Rogan up because they would do an hour. And I'd leave. I'd get the check. And I'd tell, what's his name, when they get off, go up there and close out the show. So I'm lurking out there, and I see this group of, like, you know, 8 women. It's a bachelorette party. And it's fun on a Monday night. You know, they're amateurs of this. But I tell you, one was hotter than the other. And they all had rings on and the whole thing. And this one girl kept talking to me. How long have you been doing comedy? But she was scoping something. Like, she saw something. So we started talking. She goes, is this place really haunted? And they're like, we're going to go to the Rocks. And she's like, hold on. And some other comic was talking to another one of them. And she goes, let's go. And we went. And I took her to the main room. And she looked around. And then we went up on the back of the stage. And we went back there in the main room. And we walked out of there. And nothing happened. And we walked out, and as we walked, there's a ladies' bathroom.
Yeah.
In the corner.
Yeah.
Not behind the stage, but the one in the corner there. That's where it all goes down. That's why I was introduced. And she goes, what's this in there? I go, the ladies' bathroom. And she asked me, do you have coke or anything? And I go, yeah. She goes, I'm hanging out with these wenches. They don't do anything. She did like 2 fucking blasts of coke. She was off and running. She started peeing. And she goes, where are you? And I go, outside. And when she came out, her pants were down. Like,
no
pants
way.
Were, like, she had just peed.
In the main room? Nobody was in there.
Nobody. It was a Monday night. She just dried her monkey, walked in. You know, I gave her another blast, started swapping spit, and there's a little couch.
Uh-huh.
When you walk in, there's a little couch there on the couch, ball is in her mouth, fingering her like with fucking.
That's hot.
No. I told her bingo. I was a velvet hammer.
That's
days,
hot.
Because I knew I didn't want to pull out a condom and go through all that. Like, that shit drives me crazy because that's when my dick will get dead. I like that explosive
sex. Yeah.
Like, in those days, I'll just tackle you, eat your pussy. Well, I'm eating your pussy. I'm coming. It's going on the wall. It's a fucking monster.
That your cum is on that couch in the cum.
Oh, all over those walls. On Harpo Marx got cum on them.
Oh,
fucking have
God.
Those comedians on that wallpaper. Oh. And we went off in there for like 10 minutes. You know, noises and fucking.
Oh.
And we went out like nothing happened. And she joined the limo with her girlfriends and left. Like, for years, that always bothered me. Like,
why'd it bother you?
Because.
That's so hot to me. I would love for something like that to happen to me.
No.
What do you mean? You're the initiator on this. That could happen. That could happen to you in 2 seconds.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I like it to happen. Like, I like it to seem like not my idea, even though it is. Like, I mean, I want the guy. Like, here's the thing.
You
want
to play the hand.
I don't hook up with randoms.
Let's go downstairs
much.
To the cave. I want to show you something. You know, and you're like, okay.
I don't
much.
I don't hook up with randoms much, but can I tell you my hottest random hookup story?
Oh,
it just happened. It just happened. Okay, I never hook up on the road because I don't know. It's very rare I meet someone that I have like that chemistry with that I just want to take them back, and it's worth the risk of like whatever could happen. But so I go to San Francisco to shoot an episode of Undercover, and I have a thing for athletes. Okay, so I kind of sort of tweeted something like I said to my friend, like, we should hook up with some 49ers while we're in town. And she was like, you have to be careful with football players. A lot of them are like rapists. And I was like, that's impossible. Who would say no? Like, just as a joke. And I tweeted that. Well, like 5 minutes later, a couple 49ers followed me on Twitter. So I followed them back and I started talking to a few of them. And there's this one who was really hot and basically was like, we should hang out while you're in town. And I was like, yeah, but just so you know, that tweet was a joke. I don't hook up with the randoms, but like, let's get a drink or whatever. So he comes to my hotel and we go get a drink. And like, the minute I saw him, I was like, I'm definitely banging this guy. Like, I never, ever do it. He is so hot and he's young and I knew I'd never date him. And I was like, if he's cool at all, we're hooking up. So we went, we had drinks. We went back to my room. I stayed up all night. We had sex all night. And it was in the top like 3 sex experiences.
Look at Lee's getting all pale.
I just love that your random is a 49er.
Well, it's not a famous one.
The random. Listen, if I got dirty with you and I knew you for a year, those don't really bother me as much as the random ones. Because.
He's not just super random because I know who he is. You know. Don't judge me, Joey.
I'm not judging you. I'm just thinking about my randoms. My disgusting randoms. I met a girl when I first started doing comedy. I was in comedy maybe 6 months in. I had just recently been divorced. I was 28. You know, I didn't have any fucking money. I lost my job. I had money in the bank and I had every major credit card. I would never flaunt it. I was not one of those guys talking nothing. I was at a bar minding my own business and it was a hotel. Where I started comedy was a hotel. I started at the Comedy Works.
Yeah.
But on Tuesday nights was comedy night. I swear to my mother's grave, I never went there with the intention one time. I always learned don't hook up with these people. At the beginning, I was real tight on that. And I went down there when I went to the fucking thing. And this is one of the best ones ever that I thought, because I like all that. Sometimes, man, I don't like putting your dick in something is kind of fucked up. Or having a guy's dick in you is kind of
Well, that's why
up.
I never really do it, but sometimes it's fun.
And you know what I did years ago? I stopped having condoms on me. I got so scared of all that shit. I said, listen, there's other things you could do with these savages.
Wait, you stopped carrying condoms so that you wouldn't hook up?
So I wouldn't put my dick in you.
But that actually worked?
Yeah, I would never put my dick in you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like most guys would do it anyway.
Isn't the mouth inside? No,
the mouth is completely different. The mouth is the goal.
You follow me?
Yeah, the monkey is what's crazy. The mouth is the goal. If she's banging like you, I got to eat her monkey first. I got to drop it. I got to drop and fucking do something crazy. So this girl was in your range, only 22.
Oh, damn.
I'm 28. I had never had strains. Like, I had been with a girl for 6 years. before that had been like on a year drop, and people, you know, when you're emotionally broken, people could tell, so the woman would stay away from me. One, no. You know, I broke that drought on the plane. Can you imagine?
You broke a drought on a plane?
18 months. No.
You went 18 months without sex?
14 months.
Without sex?
Heartbroken. 5 masturbations a day, crying.
Holy 14 shit. Months,
couldn't pick up a fucking cold in the heat. Like when women go, I haven't been laid, I get it. Because there's a stress that you're like, at this point, if anybody taps me and says, you look good, I'm going to fuck him. You're at that point as a woman. At that point,
I've been there.
At the 11-month mark, I knew I was the kiss of death. I knew I had gone through this whole thing, like drugs, and I was emotionally broken. And it was written on my face. It was written on my body language.
Wow.
It was written. So I knew I was getting close. I would see women at bars, and they would get drunk with me. But something just wasn't. And I knew it. After like the 5th time, I go, I'm done.
I think that it's almost like a major league ball player. I'm done.
You have to be a professional sometimes. If you're looking for pussy, you have to be a professional. You run into a slump.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you run into a slump. And then it gets psychological. And then it gets psychological.
And then you start tapping out. Mm-hmm. Then you start going, you know what? I've accepted it. I'm going to become Charles Bronson. I'm going to get a single apartment. I'm going to shoot people at night. And I'm going to give up pussy. Pussy weakens the legs. And I thought, nothing. Nothing. And now I'm bumping into dough. Now I'm getting dough. And I'm going to bars. I'm buying blow. I'm robbing gas stations. Oh, my God. I'm getting credit cards. And I still can't pick up a woman. Wearing nice Miami Vice clothes. It's 1985.
Really?
Don Johnson. Shoes, head done, nothing. Built, gold chain, nothing. Drought of my fucking life. I said, fuck this cursed place. July 1, 1985. I get on a fucking plane. I get on that fucking plane.
You know the date?
July 1, 1985, I get on that fucking People's Express plane. I start talking to a black guy. The black guy got personality. He starts talking to the white hoes. They come over. They start talking. One thing leads to another. A stewardess starts talking. Bop, 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 bop. Where are you going to go? I don't know. I was going to move to Colorado Springs. This guy told me to move to Boulder. I guess I'm going to get a hotel in Denver and spend the night. One thing led to another. Let's go to the bar. We all took the shuttle back to the hotel. The stewardess went upstairs. She stayed. And I'm sitting there going, this ain't going to happen, so I'm not even going to push it. I didn't talk about cocaine and that. Oh, my God. There was no cocaine. There was nothing. There was reefer.
Okay.
And I said, do you want to get high? I got to go smoke a joint because I didn't like booze.
I love that you had it on the plane, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I always carry it with something. I brought at that time, I bought an ounce of chocolate Thai weed from 148th Street back with me.
Oh my God.
I wasn't going out into the cold world of the underbelly.
This is before TSA.
This is way before TSA. Obviously. This is when I would put it in my fucking carry-on jacket. And then I fucking started talking to her one thing led to another. I don't even know how we ended up in my room. I got like a one room for $29.95. She got one put on the People's Express, paid for hers. We started talking. She ended up in my room, though. We were smoking pot. I showed her cassettes or something. We were on the floor swapping spit. So now I'm on this drought. 14 months. Not even sniffing a bra. I wake up in the morning. We kiss each other. We say our goodbyes. I get on the fucking bus. I take a bus to Boulder. I stop. I get a newspaper, I look for apartments, I put my shit in the fucking lockers, and I go on my search for apartments. As I'm walking on 1012 14th Street, I see this girl, short sandals, young. If I'm 23, she's 19 going on fucking. It's like that Rick James song, she was only 17. 17, okay. She was sexy. Dirty white hair, dirty feet. I froze.
Dirty feet.
Dirty blonde hair. Her face was an 8.
Yeah.
Nice boobs.
She's
real,
great.
You know, but decent. I knew, and she came up to me. Do you know where this is? No, it's got to be here. So we both were looking for apartments.
Yeah.
We walked around. Ba, 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 ba. Da, da, da. Where you from? I'm Christian. No shit. We both went and got caught. In those days, this was way before coffee. We got like a sandwich or something at Rose's. They had chicken, and we went to Rose's on that. This was way before fucking any of those chicken people started making chicken. This is 85. Rose's would put organic chickens with rosemary and all that shit on it. So we went there, we ate, and then she went and put a deposit on an apartment, and I went and put a deposit on an apartment. She lived in Denver. I got a hotel in Boulder. We kept talking. Her mother calls her. Or she calls the mother, you got the apartment, go over there now. She went over there. When we went over there, we started swapping spit. Bam. Bam. Pants came off, pussy eating. This chick, I thought she was not even in my league. I'm not even going to go there with her. I walked her back to the apartment on the floor like animals, eating pussy, wrestling. She sat on my face, tremendous. Now, she gets a roommate. Okay? They move in. I move in three doors down.
Oh, wow.
Perfect. My journey into the fucking underbelly of life without these New Jersey fucking savages is starting.
The drought is over.
The drought is over. Life is good. Not only did I get one the one night, but here I am. I'm calling home going, guys, if I'm getting laid, you guys would fucking kill it out of here. You guys got lives. You're good looking. You got blue eyes. You know, I'm over here with brown eyes walking around like a fucking Nazi.
You got blue eyes. Yeah, that's it. That's all you need.
Nazis got brown blue eyes. So this is where it gets kinky.
Oh.
Okay, so she's in there 3 days. I joined a gym, barbell gym on the hill. That Sunday, they're having their yearly barbecue. I go to the barbecue. On the way out, the two girls go, where are you going? I go, I'm going to a barbecue. If you want to come, both of you come to the barbecue. We get to the fucking barbecue. There's a volleyball thing. The girl I'm with, the sweet little girl, gets up and goes to play volleyball. This one just starts going crazy. How she hasn't given a blowjob in 6 months, that she knocked her fucking neck off, you're not giving a blowjob, and her eye, you know, this chick is just fucking, that she can hold her breath while she gives a blow. I'll never forget this conversation. And I'm going, this is not fucking happening to me. I haven't seen a tit for 14 fucking months, and this is the third broad in 6 days. I haven't even been here fucking a week. This is gonna, I'm gonna get VD. I'm gonna get AIDS. Rock Hudson just went public. I'm going crazy, man. And in those days, I would stick my dick in you, no condom, no nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck about nothing. No.
Yeah, of course.
That went raw back, nut on your stomach, rub it in, lick it, you dirty bitch, and fucking. And then, right there at the picnic, I go, so let me ask you something. You haven't sucked a dick in how long? 6 months. She goes, right now, I would do anything to suck a dick. Listen, there was a 3-foot wall like a moat. Listen, everybody, listen. In your perverted mind, you look at that wall and you're like, I could fuck her and do 1,000 things. And nobody would see us.
You would both have to lie flat on the ground.
Well, guess what? In those days, I wasn't 300 pounds. I was 185, 200.
Damn.
And I looked at her and I go, we're going over that wall. And I went over that wall.
What about the other girl?
Listen to me. I laid on my back like an Indian. I took it out. She laid between my legs. And she sucked that pipe. I four times. 20 minutes we were behind there. Nobody saw a fucking thing.
You came four times four in time. 20 minutes?
I would come and then she sucked my balls and whacked me off. I had never had that experience. And she'd poke a finger in my ass. Tremendous, right? Like, look, not the whole way in, but like a little machine gun.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was 22, 23. I had a professional dick sucker once before. But this was a level amongst hers. And she would lick your balls, then for every 10 licks to your ball, she'd lick your asshole and then put a little finger on it to make you explode a little bit. Bam! Like, I couldn't see when I got up. Like, my body was drained. I got up. We looked over the wall like we were being victims. Nobody saw a thing. We both got up. She smiled. She goes, I told you I was the best. We went back and we ate hot dogs like nothing happened. Lee, I want to be around. I got to run to the bathroom real quick. That's a fucking story.
That's amazing. Holy shit.
That was the craziest fucking thing.
Is this live, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Oh my god.
I wanna be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart.
And these are like
somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as
and Kate didn't even take any
to do with me. Who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company? Wait and see. I mean, I wanna be around to see how he does it when he breaks.
makes your so, Kate, do you use Tinder?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like? I never got to use it.
I don't use it really like for dating as much as I just use it to like, you know, fuck with people.
What do you mean fuck with
people? I have a website called Tinder Trauma. Do you know about this?
No.
I have a website called TinderTrauma.com. What I do is I go on Tinder and I act insane and I try to get guys. I basically like I bait guys with sex. I act like I want to hook up on Tinder and then I act insane on purpose and I try to get them to block me to see like how much shit guys will put up with to have sex. So I've done everything from like, I asked guys if I could like bring rattlesnakes to bed, put leeches on their balls. Oh my God, I had a guy go dumpster diving. I told him I was into like rotten meat being rubbed all over my body.
Of course.
And he went dumpster diving to try to find meat to put on me. I used to do it all the time and then I kind of slowed down on it just because I got busy and I didn't have as much time. And
you saw OJ in America. And you realize motherfuckers will kill you for a piece of ass.
Yeah, yeah, but also because
that's what fucking happened.
People started to like Google image search me and they'd be like, oh, you're a comedian, and then they would know what was up. But I used to do it more before anyone really could figure that out.
You know, when I was in the bathroom, I'm like, this is a disgusting podcast.
It really is.
But this stuff tonight that I'm talking about, though. Fucking, like, not those three girls. That doesn't bother me at all. We weren't doing coke.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing coke then. I wasn't doing coke in that time period. That's crazy. Yeah, I was straight, legit. I was clean for 6 months. I was lifting weights. And, you know, and then 2 weeks later, I bumped into a girl I hadn't seen in 16 months. She gave me a number in New York City.
No way.
We talked one time. I lost her number. I was going to Boulder. She told me she was going back to Boulder. I go downstairs. She's downstairs with the garbage.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? We ended up getting married.
Aww. That's so cute.
Well, now we hate each other. Oh. She won't let me see my daughter. You know the fucking
But thing. It was cute. If you know, I've been really trying. It makes me sound whorish, like the stories, but this is the thing. I've been really trying to learn to have casual. I'm a relationship person. Like, I start dating someone. If I like them, then I just, like, I'm all in and I stop seeing other people. But I've realized that, like, with guys, a lot of guys out here don't want a relationship. But I always like the guys that don't want one. So I have been trying to learn to be able to, like, casually date and casually have sex and not get all, like, attached to guys. I'm really bad at that. I'm really bad at it. I think that's why on some level I started hooking up with, like, the porn guy and stuff, because I know that he's not relationship material, so I am going to be forced to learn to be casual.
Now, all this disgust I tell you about, I never dated two women at once.
You didn't?
No. Like, I wasn't that good looking. I didn't have that type of game to call a girl. I never had patience. Once I realized that I wasn't good in bed, like, it was like, I was like 22, and I'm like, I'm not snapping out of this fucking shit. And it's getting worse with the coke. Like, by that time, the coke had started. I had been doing coke 6 years. And I was 50-50. Either I had the hard-on of life.
Yeah.
Or I had dead dick and I'm paranoid. No, I wasn't getting paranoid then. I'm lying to you. It didn't start till about 3 years later. And even then, I was getting good dick after I gave you a stab and did some more blow. And I would put a coke rock in my pee hole and the whole fucking...
For real?
Fuck yeah.
Holy shit. I'm not kidding you. No one ever did that to me.
And then when I got fucking coke, when I went to prison, when you're waiting to get to the doctor's office, I will never forget this. They had a bulletin board. Like, when you're waiting to get blood and shit, when here you are with your prison whites, you're in diagnostic, and you're waiting to go get blood out and for them to ask you creepy questions. There's a section that you sit on the wall, and one of the articles on the wall was about a man who shot cocaine into his dick. And his dick stayed hard for four fucking... This was at the height of cocaine. I was doing this time August... I was in diagnostic September of 88. At that time, people were... So what you tell me is, all the coke you've done, nobody's ever put a coke on your clit.
Yeah, but not in their pee hole. Not in his pee hole. Never had a guy put a coke rock in his pee hole.
You put a coke rock on his pee hole and you suck that pipe.
But I had guys...
And your jaws go numb and shit. I mean, forget about it.
I've snorted it. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you snorted those guys' dicks.
Yeah, but I've never had anybody put it on their pee hole. And then...
Oh, no, you put it on your pee hole, and then you suck it, and your jaws go numb like a dentist. You're like, this is better than... I wish the dentist did this shit. My whole fucking from down here down is numb. Even my fucking esophagus is down.
Oh, interesting. No, I haven't had that. I haven't had that. There was something when you were talking about the drought that I was. I am the girl that always cures guys of their drought. That's something I realized. I am that
no,
girl.
No, you're not.
Yes, I
that's,
am.
No, you're not.
Yes,
lying.
I am.
That's not a good fucking. That's not a
I
good.
I don't want to be. But it's
like happen. After they stay, after they nut, they'll look at you and go, I haven't been
that was the first
months.
Time in 8 months. It's happened to me like 3 times.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
It is? Why is it embarrassing? I feel like I'm, you know what someone told me who was, oh, it was Cat. No. It was Cat Williams. I had Cat Williams once on my podcast. And I was talking about how sometimes I have sympathy sex with guys because sometimes I won't be that into them, but they took me out so many times. I feel like they deserve it. Or maybe they say they haven't had sex in a while and I kind of like feel like throwing them a solid. And he said that I am like a charity worker, you know, like I'm like a superhero, like a sexual superhero, you know, like I'm taking, like I'm like Robin Hood.
I got to be honest with you. There was one woman I had a brief affair with, all drug related. Until this day, the only reason why I talked to her was because she gave me so much confidence back that I had lost.
See, that's me. That's what I do for
people.
Till
this day, I can't tolerate her.
Oh.
At times, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't tolerate her at times.
Right,
she
yeah.
drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. She brings zero or whatever to my life. But the only reason why I've stayed, there's two women who I've stayed in touch with because it's a sad thing to say, but that pussy really changed my life. Like, they're.
See?
Something about what they did, I saw the humanity in it. Like, I looked at both these women, and I know that they were way out of my league, and they threw something at me. The first one I'm talking about, I had like a year drought, and I was just I was ready. I didn't know. I was ready to emotionally break down. And I went from zero. It was like going zero to 100. This chick was a work mule from the day one. She was just a mule, you know. And then I went, when we broke up, I was kind of down, and I bumped into the other one. And I got to tell you, the other one even made my comedy good.
Really?
Yeah, like the confidence she gave me, because she would always talk shit. Like, I knew her for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. There's one day I look at you, and I go, she's my buddy. But then there's another day I look at you, and I go, you know what? I'm going to have to eat her ass. It's just too fucking good. You just have to one day go, listen.
No way.
We're friends. I got to eat your asshole. So we ended up going on the road. And on the road one night, we both got drunk. And she was like, I haven't been with a guy in like a year. And I go, you know, I haven't been with nobody in a long time. I go, listen, let's do this. I know we're good friends. I tell you what, I really want to eat your pussy. So let's do this. Give me 5 minutes. This don't work. Just say stop. And that's it. We'll part friends. I swear to God. And she was like thinking, she's like, oh my God, I could really go for somebody to eat my pussy. She goes, okay, let's give it a try. I had to talk her into it like fucking 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I go, what's the difference?
Wait, did you guys have sex though? Or did
no,
you just eat her pussy?
First time I ate
her
pussy.
You know what? I did that with a friend.
I stuck to my guns.
Yeah.
And I remember how, you know, once I listened. I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm committed to the monkey. So she was like, her eyeballs were popping out of her head. And then I flipped her over and went for the muffler.
Right. Yeah.
And I went the whole thing. I spread it out and made it blink. You know me, dog. I'm the real deal, Holyfield. I said, that's it. I tapped out because she didn't know I'd nutted. So I tapped out.
That's hilarious.
She didn't know. And
she also, just thought you were a good
and
dude.
She just stayed on all fours. And she's like, go. And I'm like, next time. And I nutted, and that was it.
That would have fucked with my head.
We both passed out.
That would fuck with my head.
We both passed out. But no, in a way, I told her. And I remember one day we were on the road, and we shared a room. And I liked her monkey so much that after I ate her monkey and terrorized her, she went in the shower. I took her panties, sniffed them, and banged one out. And she came out, and I was banging one out with her monkeys. You know, years later, when I was still on blow, years later, even if we weren't doing nothing, I'd go to a house and excuse myself till I had to use the bathroom. I'd take her thongs out of the fucking.
Stop it.
Oh, fuck it. I'd whack off on the way home and throw them out of the car on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, my God. I hope they weren't expensive panties.
I didn't give a fuck.
Some of those are $12. Oh. You know, I had a friend.
We're freaks, dog.
I
we're fucking freaks. You know, we're from nasty. And that's drug. That's what. I would go over there, and I knew that if I worked there, it was going to take me too long. And for a while, like, all I had to do was go over there with a Coke rock. So I even had her period on my time clock. Like,
oh,
I knew
my
she,
God.
I knew she'd get her period on the 21st, so she'd call me. I ain't going there because I can't eat your monkey. I can't do that shit when it's bleeding. So don't even invite
Shut
me.
Up.
Yeah, so I had her on the time schedule. I knew from
that's the worst because that's when we're the horniest.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to have sex with someone on their period?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
No? You won't fuck them even on, like, day three or four?
No. Let's not even go there. Oh, I did it once or twice.
Why not?
I can't see. Listen, I'm having surgery next Monday.
So just don't look down.
I'm having surgery this Monday, next Monday.
Yeah.
And I was at breakfast, coffee with somebody today. And they were telling me how their son-in-law did the surgery. And on the second day, he drove him. And he goes, when he took the bandages out, there was a lot of blood. I had to get up and go to the air conditioning room. I can't deal with that shit. That's a fucking, I had a bad traumatization as a young kid, like a week after my mother died. A week after my mother died. I'm 16 years old. I'm at home with Zoraida. She's taking care of me. And the phone rings. And it's this girl that she's no longer with us. God bless her soul. I loved her dearly at that age. She was a soldier. She was like, fucking you. She called me up and she goes, hey, man, I didn't make it to your mom's wake. She was beautiful. She had blue eyes and blonde hair. She was German. And I knew her brother. But I had gone to a picnic one time and flirted with her. We were kids. You know, we were 14. No sex. You know, finger. I don't even know. She didn't even give me a blowjob. I wasn't even into that.
We were kids.
We were kids. But she was beautiful. She went to a different grammar school. And when my mom died, a week later, she calls me. I'll never forget. It was a Monday night, dog. It was cold already. It was like November 15th. It was freezing on the East Coast. I'm heartbroken. Like, I was still experiencing the shock of my mom dying. And out of the blue, the phone rings. What's up? And she goes, hey, man, I'm sorry about your mom. I didn't make it to the fucking thing. But I just called to see if maybe I could throw you a little piece to make you feel better. Just like that, she said it to me, 16 fucking years old. I said, I'll be over there in 10 minutes. She goes, we can't do it here. She goes, we got to go back to your house, but walk over here, get me, then we'll walk back. It was freezing.
Wow, who are these girls? And they're 16. That wouldn't even cross my mind.
I walked from 38th Street all the way to 45th Street, picked her up, walked back in 30-degree weather. We get all the way back to my house. I locked the room. I tell my aunt I'm in there with a friend. We swap spit. I put on Earth, Wind, and Fire. I take her. She had beautiful breasts. She was beautiful. She was a beautiful girl. At that time, I hadn't had sex.
Ever?
I had sucked a pussy. I had sucked some tits. I had dry humped people.
So this is, you lost your virginity, this girl?
Listen to me. Okay. I took her fucking panties off, and the Kotex followed the panty on the way out. Like, it was a thing that was glued. It was glued on, and the last of the glue held on because the Kotex was stuck to a pussy, and you could hear it peel off like cheese on pizza.
And all of a sudden,
I almost fainted. I go, whatever. You got to put you. And I walked out of the room. And then she goes, what's the problem? I go, I've never seen nothing like that in my life. And she goes, it's just a little blood. And I go, no. No. And I remember walking her back, being like more fucking, feeling worse than what I fucking felt like. Why don't you just leave me alone? My mother just died. Who calls somebody up after their mother dies and offers them a piece of pussy with blood on it?
She has her period, and she had a.
Can you fucking believe that? She calls me with a fucking. I walked back heartbroken even more because I still didn't get laid.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God, horrible.
Funny.
You have no fucking idea what I felt like that.
She didn't even have a tampon in. She had a pad.
A cold pad, like a thick thing. It was 1979. They looked like a 2x4 in those days. They barely, it was like a dildo between and just fucking like, fucking embarrassing as shit. So I was traumatized after that.
Yeah,
I get it. So all that shit. But Kate, I tell you what, I just want you to be careful on the road. You hear these stories and you're like, that shit sounds like fun.
That was just one time that I hooked up with a random on the road. One.
No.
How sad is that? I want to do it a little more. Joey, I need to learn. That's a problem. Guys cuddle me and I think they love me. So I catch feelings and then, you know, they don't have feelings. Feelings are the worst.
We all fucking do. They all get in the way.
Guys don't.
Yes,
guys,
they do.
You can have sex and cuddle a girl and then kick her out in the morning.
Listen,
and like,
if you're fucking, if I'm licking your pussy and you tell me you got to leave in 2 hours to take the kids to a Little League game with your husband, There ain't no connection there.
No.
There isn't really no connection. You know exactly what's going on here. That was happening to me for a while, and the guilt was overwhelming. The guilt was overwhelming because it was very random.
I can't do that.
It kept happening. Like, there was a period there where it just kept happening, and I always got a by the way. There was a situation in my life in 99 that, I can't lie to you, it didn't break my heart. It broke my spirit as a man. Because this was...
Jesus Christ.
Because, listen to me.
What happened?
Broke my spirit as a man.
You can't really... when so you dramatic. Do, when you do something like this, you have to leave that experience and go, what just happened? Well, I did everything with her, but what just really happened? What just happened? Really fucking
what
happened?
What actually happened?
What really fucking happened was... I saw a couple times. Finally, we went back. Our introductory was a threesome, which I couldn't do because she was bleeding. But the chubby girl wasn't. But my dick couldn't make it hard for the chubby girl.
Shut up.
So the chubby girl left furious because I really wanted the blonde. The blonde was a knockout. She had Dom Perignon. It was crazy. She had coke in her drawers. It was fucking craziness. She was beautiful. She had fake breasts. I was young. You know, it had to be 99. So it was way before Terry, you know, I just meet this fucking animal. And the next day she tells me to take the car and leave. And then I've come back to the beach and get her. And we go back and she goes, I'll wait for you at the hotel and get your clothes and we'll come back to the beach. And this went on for, you know, 4 or 5 nights. And then that fucking night off on Monday, she came to the condo, you know. And every night I saw her, I knew that, you know, I was leaving the following Monday. This is never going to happen again. So every time I had a staple down, it was a fucking cocaine fest. You know, every time we hung out, the fucking daylight came up. So now it's Saturday. Okay. Saturday was weird because she goes, I'm not going out Saturday. I got to get some rest. We've been out every night for the last 9 nights. So Friday, she goes, she's staying in. Saturday, she stays in.
Yeah.
Sunday, she goes, I'll meet you after the show to take you to dinner. We go to dinner. We eat. We're at the news cafe again. And right there, she goes, I got to tell you something. After tonight, we're never going to see each other. Because I get married 2 weeks from tonight.
What?
And I go, where was your fiance this last? And she goes, he's a weatherman. So his sleeping hours are crazier than mine. So he does what he does. And I see him on the weekends.
Wow.
And, okay, was I heartbroken? No. I knew this wasn't going nowhere. This girl had 3 Audis and a Porsche and shit. This wasn't going to go nowhere. I was let down because does this happen all the time? You know, I know guys go through this shit with women. Like guys, you know, women go through this shit with guys.
Yeah, this happens to me all the time.
Where you date a guy for 3 months.
All the time.
And I'm going back with my wife. What do you mean going back with your wife? You never know.
Not even. I was hooking up with a guy who was so hot and we totally like had a good like connection and thing going. And I thought he was single. And I found out not only did he have a girlfriend who he lived with, she's about to have his baby. And you know how I found out? I was at a party. At a party, this dude shows up with his 9 months pregnant girlfriend to this party. And I didn't know. And it was awesome. Because what I did is I hung out with his girlfriend the whole time. And I was just like, you guys are so cute together. Tell me about your baby. And I could see him. I could see him watching. Dude, I was like, I didn't tell her. I never said a word, and I never sent him an angry text.
Or anything. You're the real deal. You're the last of the real Mohicans.
Thanks. It was pretty fun.
So last night, I didn't bring you on the fucking show to talk about disgust, but it happens to go somewhere like that. Last Saturday, I was out of town, and you tweeted the AVN Awards. I knew you had taped them, and I never even thought about Showtime. I thought they came on Showtime Live, so applause. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
You know, I had my wife tape it.
I still haven't watched it.
I watched it. You were great.
Thank you.
I watched 42 minutes of it.
I can't watch. I hate watching myself.
There's one blue dress that's phenomenal.
Thank you.
The blue dress, you look like a fucking...
You know what's funny about that?
Blow...
Thank you.
Carpet...
Aww,
pieces.
Thank you.
Like, there's only one chick that can talk to you. That's that chick with the big ass that was in the movie The Town. The chick that plays the crack chick?
Oh, the blonde one?
She ain't no joke. She's in Kate Quigley's lead.
Ryan Reynolds' wife.
What's her name?
I don't know.
What's her name, Lee? That chick is in
Scarlett Johansson?
No.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Scarlett Johansson's a dirty bitch. She got fungi fungonail. A friend of mine told me her feet look like mine.
Blake Lively.
Oh, I love Blake.
That's the only chick that can stand you. Next to you. I thought Sarah Bullock, she don't, you know, she's gonna show her titties. That career is going down the drain. We had this discussion on the phone that day. I was dying that day.
Thank you.
You can't show your tits till after.
No,
then later.
No,
I'm not 42 when people ain't making you the big offers. Then you go, let me drop this on you, motherfucker.
Right.
Bam! You do like an indie. And you drop it on them for like $1,000 a day. And they fucking flabbergast. Everybody's looking at her. That's it. I got to bring her in just to look.
That's
at
when
her.
It's time.
That's when it's time.
Yeah. One day. I don't know. I haven't shown my tits yet on anything.
I was doing the AVN Awards.
So fun, actually. You know what was funny about it is like all these comics were like, you know, the porn stars don't laugh. They don't listen. They're fucked up. They're not paying attention. Don't expect to have a good set. Just do you. Don't worry if you bomb. I mean, it was crazy. No one's ever psyched me out so much for any gig.
You were doing great.
Thanks. Well, this is the thing. And then I get there. And before, I was smart. I went out 2 days before the award show to just hang out and get to know the porn stars and kind of walk around so that when I went on stage, they'd be like, oh, there's that chick we've been seeing around the expo. So they listened. And then they were great.
And they wouldn't be threatened by you because you don't come off like judging. You're a fucking more savage than they are.
I mean, that was the thing is they were like, oh, it's cool because you look like you could do porn. I was like, thank you. So it was fun. And my jokes, like I ran the jokes a lot and I had like really awesome people help me write great jokes. And it all went great. I was so happy. And I met like a lot of cool people out of it. And the porn people are cool as fuck. That's the thing. It's like dating one isn't the best move for me. But they're... For me,
there's other possibilities there in the porn industry for you. Not as a porno actress, I don't mean like that, like just hosting the event again. Or
I've got, it's funny, I got called, and somebody, I guess a pretty big porn producer, asked me if I wanted to direct a porn, like a funny, like a comedy porn. And I was like, I don't know, I gotta think, I don't know if I really want to do that, but maybe. But it has been interesting.
Porn's never funny.
It's not supposed to be funny.
It's not funny.
Right?
That's the thing, that people always try to make it funny, or they just get stupid actors to do porn.
Yeah,
who are trying to be funny and cute.
Well, my thing is,
it's not funny.
I didn't even know there was lines.
Yeah, I want to be funny. I watch fucking The Office or whatever the fuck that is.
Right.
Wait, how are we doing over there, my friend? 900 milligrams on the 4th of July. Your mind's over there.
I'm doing great.
Exploding and shit.
Look at his eyes. He looks like he's just gone.
I am pretty far gone, but I had it fucked up a couple times. Like, I had a 6-month dry spell. I had an 18-month one at the end of Boston and then moving here. It was, and then at the end of one of the dry spells, when I thought I was going to have sex, it didn't work.
That happens to guys sometimes. They
get too
out.
Excited. And I was like, mother, it was the worst. And you know what I had? It wasn't the 18-month one. It was like the 6-month one. And I called a girlfriend I hated from like the year before. And we got a hotel room. It was gross. I hated her. And it just, like, it was the worst. And then it didn't work.
Oh, like, no.
She went to sleep, and we just went to sleep.
This is the dirty. This is the deepest I ever got with a chick at a hotel. When I was a comic, I sat there one night. The young girl, like you, was sitting, talking nothing, having conversation. We didn't do drugs. In those days, I used to have Valium and do coke. And she goes, do you have anything to calm my nerves? I mean, it was like perfect. I go, yeah, I got V's. She goes, give me half. She took half. We did a couple bumps. She had a couple like girls she was in town with. And we scooted to the back room. Listen to this one. She had a mini skirt on, right? I'm like, I got to take this bitch to the hoop. She's in town visiting. Fuck the postcard. She's taking a mental fucking thing. So we're swapping spit. I'm fingering her. I take my hand. I put it in the ice machine. And I take that fucking ice cube and I put it on monkey. I rub that motherfucker. I take it and I put it in my mouth. Then we start making out, passing it back and forth on the ice cube.
Damn.
I took the helmet out, put my ice cube on the helmet and scooted her head down like a savage. She did the fucking whole thing with the ice cube. I took another ice cube and put it in her monkey. Everybody was numb. You understand? If you had inflammation, it was going away that night.
You're hilarious.
This is
does that feel good, an ice cube on your dick?
It doesn't
dick?
Matter. When you're coked up,
oh, right.
The fucking
yeah.
craziness that goes through your fucking head.
It wouldn't so feel good.
Funny. It's fucking ridiculous. When you get to a, a certain level of cocaine. Like, there was a book when I first came out.
But you can't get hard then. That's what I don't get.
It's a fucking fantasy. You sit there. So I'll say, Kate, just take it all up.
It doesn't even matter that you can't get hard. It's just all right.
Light your asshole on fire. It's this thing.
Oh, my God. I did that.
I know you did.
Yes, I swear to God. I got my butt lit on fire.
Where?
For in Atlanta for my Playboy TV show. I got to have my ass lit on fire. Did you know that's a real thing? You can put, listen, you should try this. Listen, it's so fun.
Before it was a real thing, I did it back in the 80s on cocaine. But I'll tell you, just light that asshole.
If you put
fire.
Hair mousse, you got to take hair mousse, okay? Buy a can of mousse, shake it up, put it on your ass crack, light that shit on fire. And the thing is, you can't feel it on your skin because the mousse burns first. And then what they tell you to do is twerk until the fire goes out. You twerk it out. I had to do that on listen, my show.
What if I listen, can't twerk?
Do me a favor. Don't run away. I'm going to go get some hair mousse. We would bust fucking YouTube. People on YouTube would go, what the fuck on the 4th of July?
I posted a video. A video of it on my Instagram. It did actually do really well.
Did it protect your asshole? Or did you put
that's
like,
what it
underwear
does.
Under your
no.
ass?
No.
You lit your asshole on fire.
Well, I had on a G-string.
You are to the fucking, you're out there, dog. That's what I love about you. It doesn't matter. You're at least having fun. At least, listen, what would be worse? You're doing this shit that you're doing now? Or you're with some guy who lied to you. You're living in his apartment. Nothing's happening in your career. You're just a pretty girl.
No.
Nothing's happening. You're making things happen on your own, dog.
Thank
so, you.
You
know.
I'm trying to just have fun. You only live once, you know? Have fun. Make people laugh.
Don't get VD, though. That's a big one.
I get tested a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very careful.
Yeah, you have to. And some of that shit creeps up on you. Some of that new VD is like Puerto Rican VD. You give them a stabbing in June, they knock on your door in August. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, though.
Next thing you know, you're scratched in September. You're at the beach, you got a wart on your neck. And you're like, what the fuck is going on in my life?
He's right.
I felt three of these warts because that shit shows up later. That, especially the international shit.
What?
That international shit, the shit they're bringing in. Like today, they're bringing in shit that just fucks
wait,
you up.
Wait, you know what's funny? You're
I
saying
watched
that.
Something. I'm telling you.
Yeah, my mom texts me. My
I'm
mom
telling
texts
you, I
me
watched something about the fucking dangers of this country
wait,
right now.
Wait, the bugs.
It's not the bugs. This is a different thing.
Oh.
This is a thing that they don't have an antibody for right now. It's not HIV.
What country are they from?
Is it
Belgium
an STD?
Or something? Yeah, like a new STD.
Because there's something.
And they're starting to see it in New York and Miami. Oh. Miami. In Miami, if you're going to, don't fuck nobody in Miami.
I don't fuck in Miami.
That's the dirty
No fucking in Miami.
You go home, also a parakeet flies out of your ass. Holy shit. You're like,
I masturbate
fuck?
A lot.
Listen, I don't want to hear about that stuff.
Well,
anyway,
that's
what else is going on? Because you got a bunch of fucking shows.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm touring all of July. So like I'm doing the House of Comedy in Minneapolis, Edmonton. Well, it's Comic Strip in Edmonton and Phoenix. And then New York and Philly. So it's cool because I'm headlining
Gotham?
All those places. I'm doing Comedy Juice at Gotham end of July. And I'm doing the new Philly Punchline. Have you done it?
No, I'm a helium guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm a helium.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Philly's a great comedy town. They'll fucking love you.
I'm excited to go. I mean, I love Philly. So I'm doing that. I don't know. My show, second season of my Playboy show just wrapped. So I just finished shooting that. I'm working on some shows with Sam Tripoli that we've been like developing some stuff. So I just always keep a lot of irons in the fire. Oh, and I have my podcast, which I got to get you on sometime.
Which one now? Is this by the pool?
No. Okay.
What's
so
this, one?
This is
Date
Fails. I've been doing Date Fails for a long time, which is like, it's
you and Middleman.
No, Glickman and I aren't doing it together anymore just because we're both so busy because he booked a movie. Like, he's in that new Storks movie that's coming out. Okay. He's got a bunch of shit going on, too, which is awesome. I'm so happy for him.
I love that kid's show he was on.
Oh, yeah,
I had
that
the baby
Nickelodeon
when
show.
He was first on the show. So I would watch
Big
the
Time Rush.
Show. I would watch the show. I love both. There was two shows on that one and Sarah and Kate. The one with Ariane, the fucking young singer.
Oh, yeah. I
that was a good fucking show.
I
man.
Love it. You have kids,
she
so you watch these channels.
She was a great little fucking actress.
Really? I never really saw
it. I just
it.
Knew when it got canceled there was a problem. I didn't know she was a singer. I used to just watch the show with Mercy while she was at the house. In between shows, I'd switch.
That's cute.
And I'd watch the show. And I, you know, because you're trying to sell a show.
Yeah.
So you want to see what other people are doing. And I'm like, this isn't a bad show.
Yeah.
And then when it got canceled, I said to myself, because... Want me to tell you something? Ariane was good on that show.
Yeah.
But the fucking other little dirty blonde chick, she was a little better.
Really?
Yeah, she's got some fucking chops.
What happened to her?
Who the fuck knows?
I don't know. I don't see those channels.
The problem with Nickelodeon is the kids grow.
Well,
so the kids grow so fast, everything changes. Like right. Michael Jackson, one day his voice just fucking changed, and you had to deal with it, bitch.
Like that Michael Jackson, like that guy.
Yeah, his fucking voice changed. You had to deal with it. You're like, what happened to his voice?
That's same true.
Thing happens to those shows. The longevity is 3 years. They'll try to shoot 100 episodes in 3 years because they don't want the kids to change that much.
That's a good point. That's why. But
what do you think you're dealing with here? I'm Johnny Points.
But yeah, my
look at the shape of fucking Lee.
These stories you told tonight, by the way, are exactly the story. Like, so my Date Fails podcast is all about bad dates and bad sex and crazy stories. And what I do is,
if I look you in the face and tell you something, this is going to be a shocking fucking thing to you. Okay. I'm 53 years old.
Yeah.
If I went on 7 dates my whole life.
I knew you were going to say that. You never take girls out on like dates. You just ended up like hooking up and stuff, right?
The girl in Boulder hooked up. That's how we hooked up. We went out and got a 6-pack and we got naked by CU Stadium. The girl in Michigan I met, I was doing comedy and the people she showed up with didn't want to give her a ride back. I don't know how this happened. And she wanted to stay in my room, so I had 2 beds. I woke up to her boyfriend calling the room, threatening her, calling her a whore. You know, it was one of those things. Like, there's always drama, too. I didn't tell you about that. There's always a boyfriend that meet we fought or whatever.
Well, that's what happens when all the girls have boyfriends.
Tomorrow is my wife's and my 16th anniversary.
Aw, congrats. Tomorrow.
And now we met, talked. And then we actually went out to a date, like to some cheap fucking food restaurant, like Jack in the Box on Highland. Is it on Highland?
Yeah.
Highland and Fountain. We went in there and we ate and we talked and talked and talked and talked. And then she took me home. And then like 2 days later, I just woke up with a wild bug up my ass and I just walked through her house and woke her up.
No way.
And she cooked for me. And I knew at that moment she made me like, she had nothing. She made me like red beans and sausage and rice or something. And we split a soda and she gave me half the cigarette she had. And I was like, this is my chick. And then somewhere along there, I invited her to Lake Havasu. Lake Havasu used to have a gig.
Yeah.
So she goes, let me tell you tomorrow. So the next day at the store, she goes, I'll go to Lake Havasu. My cat has to come. So she showed up with a cat in a box.
No way.
And we went to Lake Havasu. The cat jumped out of the box. I got under the fucking brakes. So we're doing 60 in the car and the cat's under
what?
The brakes. And she can't step. And then the speedometer broke and the windshield wipers wouldn't stop.
Holy shit.
And all this shit went on all the way to Havasu for $250 fucking dollars. $250 would you spend in 75 in gas in those days. And we drove back the next day and we've been together ever since.
That's amazing that your first date was at Jack in the Box. You married her.
Like, we went somewhere, hooked up, we went somewhere, and then we went to eat. And I'm like, what do you want to eat?
That's amazing.
Let's just go to Jack in the Box. And we just sat outside Jack in the Box and talked.
That story gives me hope. It really does. I think that's
I can't play the game that most Americans play, where I have to meet you and then have to put on a facade and have to wear a suit. Have to tell you about my family. You tell me about my family. Meanwhile, you fucked 28 Martians. I fucked 3 Russian hookers the 2 weeks before. But I got to be on my best behavior. Then we each got to end up in somebody's place. And then that's why I always say that your job is a tough one, especially when you go to the Roosevelt, when you go anywhere, because everybody fucking hits on you, even in an indiscreet way. Like, even guys that will say to you, I'm this and this and that, they'll still work it to give you one last shot. Like, listen, there's an extra 6 days on this movie. We can write it in right now. I got a beautiful film studio. Let's go talk about your character. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really weird because I've seen guys operate, and I was out there. You know, now I have the job to with my daughter to tell her the fucking traps.
Yeah.
That's my job. And you know what the trap is? Talking to the motherfucker. Body language. Look at his shoes. Is this fucking trouble? Is this a fucking story? You know. You fucking know.
Yeah, you know right away.
You know,
you
can tell right away. 10 times.
Yeah, you can.
But sometimes your little pussy goes, you know what? Let me take a chance. Columbus dude.
I know.
And it always ends up bad.
I find
it
the good.
It always ends up
bad. I find the good.
Oh, they all. Listen, I was thinking about, I'm writing a book, and it's fucking tough because you bump into shit that you tucked away. Do you want me to tell you something? I quit high school going into my senior fucking year. Okay, like I was thinking about how all those years I was just like involved with women casually. But I gotta tell you something, going into my senior year in high school, I quit. There's not a woman in hell that wants to hang out with a high school graduate who quit high school the fucking with a year left.
Wait.
Like I just thought about this last week.
Did we talk about this last time I was here? Because I quit high school my senior year. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I dropped out too. But I went back eventually and finished.
I went back, but I was still 3 credits short. So they wouldn't let me graduate on stage and get them my diploma. So what was the sense? They go, you got to go to summer school. You know what? If you think I'm sitting in a fucking 90-degree office for 6 weeks, suck my dick.
So you never finished?
No.
No way.
And then when I went to Colorado, there was a thing called Colorado Mountain College. And you got to fill an application out. And they asked me if I was a high school graduate. I said, yeah, and what's your GPA? You know, me, 6.2. What's with the question?
They don't check.
And I gave them the application.
Yeah.
And I took 50 fucking credits before I got a letter from the University of Colorado telling me, the continuing ed department, telling me I couldn't go anymore, that I had to transfer into the University of Colorado or another university of my choice, but I would lose credits on the transfer. When I applied to the University of Colorado, they were like, we need all your paperwork. And I said, well, that's it. And they were like, where's your high school diploma? And I'm like, I gave it to you the original time. And they said, no, you didn't. And I'm
shit.
So I had it, like, they told me on a Tuesday.
No.
And I had to take my GED that Saturday.
Oh, man. But you did it.
I took it and I passed it. And they gave me the certificate and I took it in there. And they're like, we thought you had it. I go, you know what? I looked for it. I can't find it. I got it in Jersey. Where'd you get it? Who the fuck knows? It was 30,000 years ago. Write down Jose Diaz. That's my name, and that was the end of that. They never questioned it or none.
Wow.
They told me on a Tuesday I needed a high school diploma. I had been blowing them off for a month. Yeah, it's in the application.
Hilarious.
No, it's not. It's in the application.
That's so crazy, though, that you were able to make it that far into college without having graduated
without
high school.
Having graduated
and then they
college.
Still cared. You'd think at that point they'd be like, well, you're passing these classes. Fuck it. We'll just let
you
stay.
Can you fucking believe that?
I mean, I got my first apartment with no ID, and I kind of did the same thing because I moved out when I was 17. Like, I moved out many times because I didn't get along with my mom growing up. So I kept moving out and, like, running away from home, living with different people. And then finally, when I was 17, I just rented an apartment. And I kept telling the guy I was 18, and I kept telling him I'd get him a copy of my ID. I just kept making up reasons for why I didn't have an ID. And I never gave him a copy of my ID until like 7 months into the lease. I'd been living there. And finally one day he came and he's like, I can't let you stay here if you don't show me your ID. So I finally showed it to him and he's like, this says you're 17. I was like, yeah. And he's like, you can't live here. And I was like, oh, I thought you only had to be 17. Like, I just played dumb and acted like I didn't know. And he let me stay for the rest of my lease. He's like, no one can know you're under 18. You need to get a fake ID. He told me to get a fake ID. But he didn't make me get, I mean, he let me say. He didn't.
It's really crazy the things you do and people, that's why I don't believe in anything. When people go, well, you don't need to do nothing.
Well, my thing is, I'm like, I'm paying the rent on time every month.
Who gives
I'm
a
working.
Fuck?
Who cares if you're 17
move
or 18?
Why? Mind your business.
Yeah.
Take the envelope. I'll drop an extra 6-pack. Well, let me give some shout outs and I'll get you.
Shout out.
Ookie Spooky, happy 4th. Sean O'Brien, Dante Gazzini, Kevin Undergaro, Ron Spitalero, Kevin Light, Nick Bewley, and always Bob Lalingus out there in Chicago. What are you fucking kidding me? Or what? Fuck. I got dates coming for you next week after my surgery next Monday.
Ooh.
It's the No Expectations Tour. Starts at Flappers, continues at the Ice House, and it goes to the Comedy Store. I'll be working my hour from the special, which I'm shooting October 15th in Rosemont at the Zanies.
Dope.
So get your shit together. This is the No Expectation. You come, you pay 10, you smoke a number, and I'll just talk shit for an hour. Leo be there on the drums taping it. You know how we do it. And that's how it goes down, Kay Quigley.
That's awesome.
Kay Quigley, always a pleasure to have you on, talking about getting in the ass for the first time.
I can't believe I told
Nobody has ever divided. No, listen, like I look at you like I know you take in the ass once or twice. I didn't think like you do it on a weekly basis, but
thank
maybe you do.
Well, no, just the once.
Thank you for your honesty. Yeah, thank you for my whole thing is like, I got to look at my daughter one day and go, listen, let me tell you what happens at the end of this. Like I had a friend a couple of weeks ago. Like a dear friend of mine, tell me something fucking disturbing, like, you know, and I had to think about how to attack this, and I called her back, and I explained to her, like, in today's world, I would never hit on you, not Kate, but this girl.
Right.
Because you're so out of my league. If I was 37, I would never hit on you. Do you understand this? And she was like, I don't understand what you're saying. I go, you're a bad motherfucker. Like, as a woman, this is my perspective. Like, this is why I feel guilty, because these girls right now are waking up one day going, let me take a look back at my fucking sexual misconducts over the year. And they'll think about their 6 relationships that, you know, guys move on, or you dated for 4 years and he couldn't marry you because you're not Jewish. Or, there's always a fucking story, you know. And you look back, and then you think about those freezer fucking fucks that you fuck guys on the whim and shit.
Freezer
and you're
fucks.
Like, what the fuck are they thinking now? What the fuck are you thinking? You know, and this is what I'm thinking. Like, you know, I don't talk about it that way or think about it that way because I'm ashamed of it, because I have daughters. So yeah, now I got to sit Mercy down when she's 12 and explain to her, like, this is the deal. You want to do this, you got to assume at this age, ain't nothing going to happen. But that guy's always got a fucking story about you. I was raised in a society that nobody goes home with the upper hand on you. They may think they got the upper hand. They may think they fucked you, but you got to picture their little dick just to go. So as soon as they start talking shit, you email them that picture, that one-inch dick, and tell them not only the next time you repeat, I got a grand a week off the top.
Oh, well,
this goes to the publication with your mother's address on it. You know, you're always covered. You know, when I was a kid, this chick sucked 18 dicks at a party one night. Mm-hmm. Like one.
What?
One shot. And she did it twice. She tried to break the record. And after everybody came,
she was record.
Like her own record.
Okay.
She was a sophomore in high school.
Oh.
And let me tell you something. I wasn't there. I had heard the story and I was like, damn. But then I remember how fucking prude I was. And I was like, thank God I wasn't there. And then I saw her. She was a knockout. But I know that years later, she was one of those chicks that probably either tied a bomb to herself and blew herself up or shot people. Because even at that age, you could tell she was a little demented. Something had happened. Nobody just says sophomore year goes,
no, I think I'll suck 18 dicks tonight.
I'll suck 18
dicks. Sounds fun.
And I always thought about what she always thought about that night. Like, there's another girl that's on Facebook that I remember one day seeing her driving at 11 in the morning after I had heard, like, I was her friend. I was really her friend.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing things about her, like,
the girl you were friends with, her, the 18 dick girl?
No.
Oh, a different girl.
I was friends with this other girl.
Oh.
In high school. Yeah. I met her in summer school my sophomore year.
She's petrified of the 18 dick girl. Look at that.
I'm petrified of her. I had this other girl that was a friend of mine sophomore year. I met her. She was hot. But I always thought that she dated older guys.
Yeah.
But then over the years, I started hearing these fucking stories, and I'd see her, and I go, she's fucking badass, but she's my friend. I can't ask her. And one day in 1983, I'm walking home, coked out to the gills from the night before, wishing the bluebird of happiness would come down and suck my dick. And I see her driving a Chevelle, one of those fuck things. And I see her, and I go, hey, and she pulls up. She's like, what's going on? And right out. I go, listen, I need a blowjob really bad. She's like, get in the car.
Shut the fuck
up. She took off in the car, double parked on like a one-way street, sucked my pole and gave me a ride to where I had to go.
Who does this happen to? Like, who does this happen to?
For years, But I was right. I would never do this. And Joey Diaz would never do this. A coked out Joey Diaz, perverted.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no.
Oh, please.
But I mean, who does this happen to that people are just like, all right, hop in. They're just down.
Not me.
I did have one guy friend, okay? It's the only time it ever happened. A friend, guy I've been friends with for years. One night we're hanging out. He's always begged me to let him go down on me. And I've always been like, no, because I'm not going to fuck you. And if you go down on me, I feel guilty and I feel obligated. Like, I have to. And I'm not touching your dick. But we're friends. So finally one night we were doing drugs. I was like, you know what? All right, you can, but I'm not touching it. Don't take it out. I don't want to see it. We're not having sex. You can only go down on me and then you have to leave. So he did. He went down on me and it was actually, it was actually great. Okay. And then while he was going down on me, he started to take his dick out and I saw it and I was like, hey, I told you we're not doing that. And he's like, I'm just taking it out. I'm just going to play with it. And I picked up my phone while he's still going down on me. I go, okay, I'm calling you an Uber. It'll be here in 2 minutes. So you have 2 minutes left. And then he goes, turn over. Let me just eat your asshole while we wait for the Uber.
Oh, yeah. We're professionals. That's a professional right there.
So then the Uber comes and then he's literally eating my ass. And I'm like, okay, your Uber's here. So to this day, we laugh about it. Like every time, like randomly, he'll just text me. He'll be like, let me come eat your asshole while I wait for an Uber. Like all the
time. It's hilarious.
One time and over. You,
that shit, I don't mind because you're friends.
We're
shit
friends.
Happens amongst friends.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, friends. My peanut butter falls in your chocolate. Yeah. Or the other way around.
But we've never had sex
but
or anything.
The shit that kills me today are the stories I was telling Lee that night. Like, that was disturbed. Like, and I'm going to have to write them because they disturbed me that
you got to write a book
like,
about
it's,
them.
It's, I'm telling you, it's sick. When my wife and I broke up, I had this friend who sold coke.
Yeah.
And there was a nurse who was fucking gorgeous. What a built boyfriend. Built, beautiful, Adonis-looking motherfucker. And I became friends with her. And one day she invited me up to where she lived. And God forbid, she lived right across the street from me. But one day her and Adonis woke up. She was walking. They broke up. She was walking around sad. And guess what? 6 months later, me and my wife break up. So one night I'm all coked up. And I'm like, this chick's beautiful. I got to figure something out. And I never forget, I went up there, my dog knocked on the door, and she was drunk. She was going through her breakup.
Mm.
And I'm like, jackpot, eureka. And I remember just going in there, and what's going on? What are you thinking about? And I go, nothing. I'm just lonely as you are. I think we should get to work. And she goes, you came over with the right plan. I'll get the condoms.
No
and
way.
We would swap spit, and
man,
I would leave.
Man, that's cool, though.
And this went on for like 6 months, and the coke dealer was in love with her. He was in love with her, and I would never say nothing. I was just going over there and just freaking with her. And do you know, about 6 years ago, he came to a comedy show, and he goes, can I talk to you for a second? He goes, all those fucking years, you were fucking Suzanne, cocksucker.
No.
Because she finally came clean one night. I was heartbroken. I was in love with her. I was preparing to marry her, and you're going over there at 2 a.m. and just giving her coke and fucking and sucking.
Joey, you must be really good in bed.
No.
You have to be.
No.
I'm, yes, you have to be.
I used to be a good manipulator with the cocaine. That's what I was.
I mean,
I was
whatever.
Just,
these chicks kept bringing you back.
No.
You must be.
I just, listen, there's two types of women. There's the women that are very conventional. There's a couple different types of women.
I can't relate to
them. But there's women that's conventional. But one of the girls I loved the most in my life told me that she always liked the shock effect. And the shock effect meant she would let me rip her underwear off. That turned her on.
Yeah.
The effect of me raping her turned her on. But don't touch her bras. They're $44 a piece. I'll fucking kill you.
Shut up.
That's what she would say.
Hilarious.
She would go, rip my panties off, but don't touch my bra. And I was young when that happened. Like, I wasn't even ready for this girl when we hooked up.
Yeah.
And I, her pussy made me fall in love.
Yeah.
And then I got angry at her and I stopped dating her.
That never happens to me.
I fell in love with this girl because she did things to me that really took me out of the norm. But that whole year with her taught me the one side of women. That there's women that go out and they want to plan shit. But there's women that go out after a few cocktails, they're in a dark place like you. And you know what, Kate?
What?
I got to tell you something. I know you 3 weeks. We talk at work. You know, you're fucking beautiful.
Thank you.
You're sick. No, I'm just telling you, if we were both 24 and 23, this is what happens in the society that we don't have.
Right.
That some women, some guys will just say to you that, Kate, it's over. Listen, I'm your friend and shit, but we gotta fuck. Okay? You know, and some women like that approach more than the, Kate, how are you? Joey Diaz, listen, I got this project and I want to include you in it. Come over to my house tomorrow at 9 and we'll read with other right, girls. Then you right. get there, and there's no other girls, and there's Dom Perignon, and I got a fucking robe on, okay? There's some women who get turned down by that. They go someplace dangerous. No. So my approach to it was, I don't lie to nobody.
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
And I, you know what I would tell women? I'm not going to fuck your brains up because that's not going to happen. But I would tell them, listen to me. I'm going to eat your pussy till smoke comes out. I'm going to put a coke rod on it, but I'm going to flip you over. Listen to my voice. You see how my voice changed? That's Barry yeah. White talking to you. So that's a different
dude,
tone.
It works, man. Every time he starts, I'm like, no.
Plus, at a bar, after three cocktails,
yeah.
we all become something we're not visually. So,
right.
you know, man, women like you come, it's very rarely because I could go up to like, those years, all this shit happened by me going out with Lee to get a beer.
Yeah.
They didn't happen because I was part of Match.com
uh-huh.
or because
yeah.
I'm looking to get married.
Right.
All these things happened because Lee talked me to go out and smoke a joint. I don't even right, fucking right. drink. But while I was at the bar, there's three girls that are sitting there, and I'm looking at those nine fucking jerk-offs that are sending drinks and being loud, and one guy's talking about his boat, and I'm going, you know what?
Yep.
You see these motherfuckers with their money and shit, Lee? I'm going to prove a point to you. You see one of those girls? I got $9 in my pocket. I'm going to eat one of their fucking pussies tonight. And Lee would go, no, you won't. Watch me. And these guys would spend thousands on these girls. I wouldn't even send that bitch a drink.
That's why you're the one she wants.
She was on fire.
That shit is what works because you act too cool.
And I would catch her, go to the bathroom. I'd count how many women were in the bathroom before her. I know there's three stalls in there, so I know there's timing. And I would go to the bathroom and she's walking out. I wouldn't even let her walk around that thing. And right there, you hold them by the fucking side. But it's not a rapey hold.
Right.
It's a love hold where my fucking big hand will wrap around you. And it's the best hand you felt since you were four and you were on your daddy's lap. No hand, no hand has ever made you feel like that. Because it's not a rapey
oh my
hand.
God.
It's a comforting hand.
Yeah.
And not only that, I would let my hand go around and I would let my fingers.
Little side boob?
Never. That's low class. I would touch the middle of your spine on your back. So do you understand me? I'm not getting no side boob on you. You're walking on my fucking right hand.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch you as you're coming right here, as ugly as I am. Not when I was, this is when I was younger. And I'm going to wrap my hand around you. And I'm going to pull you close to me, not in front of you. I'm not going to rub my cock. That's low class. That control of my hand on your lower back should make your pussy get wet if I'm doing it correctly. Because you haven't felt that since daddy held you after you struck
right.
out in the World Series.
Right.
You hold that back. And right there, you go into their ear and you go, finish your drink. We're going to go back to my place. I'm going to suck your pussy till nothing's left. And you let go of their back, and it's like a fucking swivel. They would walk back to the table. You go pee, you come out, and they're ready to go. It is fucking, but that hand.
That would probably work if you were really hot.
That hand, probably work. No. It would work at 12:30 at night on, because not of what I, it's how I said it to you.
Yeah.
And how my hand touched the bottom of your spine, how you felt my palm. Look at this gorilla hand. This is dad's hand, bitch.
I don't know, man. I need someone to try. You need to give this advice to someone. Someone come at me with this.
It's
all right?
The hand. I'm telling you. In the right situation, nobody.
Get the hand on
nobody,
the spine.
Listen, in fighting, jiu-jitsu, punching, it's balance. When I look at a girl and I go, hi, my name is Joey. I've been looking at you all night. I really like to take you for a date. By the way, here's my card. I'm VP of operations of whatever. My car is the Lamborghini. And you're like, okay. You're a cool motherfucker, but then this chubby-looking, John Candy-looking motherfucker is going to walk up to you and say, listen, I've been looking at you. I'll tell you what I did. While I was looking at you, I called the house, and I told my mother to rip the Beyonce poster off my wall. Yeah, I live with my mother. I know you're looking at me like you live with your mother. I live with my mother. I got a nice basement.
No, you lost me. You lost me.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to suck your fucking pussy, and I'm going to lick your asshole. I'm going to put a coke rock in your asshole. And just those words and that time.
Oh, man.
And now for a word from our sponsors. Let me get those sheets, Lee. You're killing me here.
Oh God!
That fucking hand.
You have me at Beyonce poster.
This fucking hand right here has closed more deals for me.
Open more legs for you.
No. Yeah, because this gorilla hand, I would slip it in and grab your spine and cup you and let you know I got you. If you fall, I got you. Ain't nothing ever gonna happen to you.
The fuck. I gotta say, I don't know if that would work.
I'm telling you, you have no idea. With three cocktails in you, this fucking gorilla hand around you, me with some gel in my hair, it's all over. The shot.
It's the gel.
With an eight ball, you're going down. You're going deep into the murky waters of the underworld.
I think it might have more to do with that line that I'm gonna.
Lee, what's going on over there? How are you feeling?
I have none of these. The fact that you say any of these things happen to you, like I was sitting there that night. And you were just rattling it off, and
it was terrible.
It didn't seem like it was bothering you at the moment. You were just like,
"You seem fine with it to me." I don't think you're the saddest you want us to think you are.
You know why? Because I had to look at it with levity. It's like you have to look at it with levity. It's really disgusting. I can't keep it in. If I tell you guys about mugging people and my mother dying,
it's not disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It's not though.
It's something that they're going to question me when I go to St. Peter. St. Peter's going to ask me about a couple thieveries. He's going to ask me about my drug use. And they say, all those women that you fucking lied to, that you ate their pussy and they're still waiting for you to come back.
You didn't lie?
Well, they were lying.
You really?
Well, that's how I got off the hook. I'd always tell them, listen, I'm out of coke. What do you mean? You told me you had an apple. Let me go out to the car and get it.
So you think St. Peter's going to be mad that you didn't give them more drugs?
I don't fucking know. There's something wrong in all these stories. Right. There's something really, and nobody broke up, and nobody, listen, there was just a lot of stuff that I look back at, and I'm not fucking proud about. Like,
can I just say, as having been married for 10 years and super sexually frustrated, that sometimes I think to myself, if there had been some dude, I never cheated, but if there had been a guy on the side that was just giving me great sex every once in a while so I could stay with the guy I really loved and cared about and not have to leave him completely, that in some ways that guy would be kind of like a champ. You know, like sometimes when you fuck someone who has somebody else, what you're doing is making their relationship a little better. Because maybe they need that. Maybe she needed that and she loved him and she doesn't want to leave him, but she needed a little something he wasn't giving her and he'll never know. And you satisfied her and they're still together because of you.
It's fucking disgusting. Now for a word from our sponsor. Before the show started tonight, I was telling Kay the story about when I got surgery a couple of years ago. I had MeUndies, and I took a shower before the surgery, and that night I couldn't take a shower, so I couldn't jump in the shower until the next morning with like a bag around my knee. And when I went in there, you always take a whiff to see what your balls smell like, you know. And my balls were completely dry. This is after, you know, 24 hours of no shower. I really wasn't moving around after the surgery. But you always get that little jelly between your legs, like stuck to the nutsack. It connects. Like when you rip the nutsack off, there should be a bead of jelly in between.
When you rip the nutsack off?
It's tremendous. Well, anyway, it doesn't really matter. We can't get into the particulars right now. They're a corporate sponsor. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that they kept me completely dry. And I was in shock, and I didn't know why, and I started reading into it. And it's because they have a material. Every pair of MeUndies is made from a sustainable source modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. It's pronounced modal. Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies. But once you try them, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. And I'm telling you, not only are they comfortable, but everything, it takes the moisture away from your skin. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, I'll tell you what, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles, limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Remember Superman? Anyway, this is what I'm going to do for you. Shipping is free, gratis, in the U.S. and Canada. You save up to $8 a pair of MeUndies subscription plan. You get the MeUndies subscription or a single pair, you get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey. That's MeUndies.com/Joey for 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/Joey. I'm telling you, these are the most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear. Please, go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off your first order and free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. How's that for you, Lee Syatt?
Oh, amazing. Cocksuckers.
And they got beautiful women and men style. So get your shit together, all right? You look tremendous in them. You're a savage like that. Anyway, I tell you what, man. I read a couple magazines from here to there. My wife gets a couple magazines sent to the house, you know, Popular Science. She gets the Men's World for me. She got it for a subscription. I get Jiu-Jitsu World, you know, Rolling Stone, all that type of stuff. Now, thanks to pizza, we're all binge eating. Thanks to Netflix, we're all binge watching. Now, with Texture, we can all start binge reading. Listen, man, there's nothing better than reading. Trust me, it's all about the be a thing. When it comes to magazines, you know what you like. And with Texture, you can get all the magazines you want in one convenient place. Texture has completely reimagined magazines, giving you the articles and stories you really want all in one place, plus interactive features with videos and recommendations just for you. The Texture app lets you tap into the world's most popular magazines anywhere, anytime, using the smartphone or tablet, all right? Breeze through hundreds of favorite magazines, including back issues, and pick the articles that interest you the most. Texture has made it easy to find articles you care about. Listen, I don't just read Rolling Stones, okay? You get deep in there. They got the Texture editorial team that recommends content for me every day, plus I can dive deeper into personalized collections. Sign up for the Texture right now and gain insider access to all the content from the world's best publications. Fitness, Money, National Geographic Kids, National Geographic Little Kids, Clean Eating, Bon Appetit, PC World, and that's just, I got two pages here. Do me a favor. I could talk here till I'm blue in the face. Do me a favor. Texture is offering my listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. You'll gain immediate entry into all top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free. That's right, free. That's right, free. That's right, free. Right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. Again, that's texture.com/Joey. Start reading magazines the way they're supposed to be read. And as usual, my main people over at honor.com, they got a sale going on, 4th of July. I don't need the code. Just go there right now. Read the fine selection of supplements they got. I can't get you a break on the motherfucking weights. What do you think I am? Fucking Joe Weider? My weight days are over. Go to the supplements, cocksuckers, from the green earth. To the T-Mac oil, MCT oil, to the motherfucking Alpha Brain, to the motherfucking hemp protein milkshake. They got it all for you. So go to honor.com right now. Check out. Put it all in the cart. On the way out, pressing what?
Church.
Boom. C-H-U-R-C-H. Like a motherfucker. And get 10% off your first order delivered to your house. I want to thank Texture one more time. I want to thank MeUndies.com one more time. And I want to thank my main motherfuckers over at Honor one more time. How's that for you? And I want to thank my beautiful fucking niece, Kate Quigley, who is a fucking star in the making. 5 years from now, we'll be laughing at this. You'll be calling us saying, Joey, you got to take the interview off me getting fucked in the ass. NBC's giving me $80,000 a year. I don't want them to know. I put on the application. I never got fucked in the ass. And I do not know Charlie Chain. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all. I love you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I missed you. I haven't seen you up close and personal. Yeah. And you look great, and I wish you all the luck, man.
Thank you. You
know,
too.
Go to katequigley.com
yeah.
And get all your tour dates and get her bio, get her pictures, her emails on her Twitter, Facebook.
Yep.
And she's a great lady with a great future, and jump on the bandwagon now. Don't come later on, motherfuckers. Just because you're on somebody else's bandwagon right now, you're like, fuck Kate. And then 10 years from now, I always loved you ever since the Joey Diaz. But no, you didn't, cocksucker. You didn't subscribe.
Come in 1 minute like Joey.
That's right.
Please.
I love you guys. Kate, good luck to you always. You're always thank family. You can always come on in. Lee Syatt, nobody loves you more than me, cocksucker.
Love you, buddy.
Stay black.
This show was brought to you by Texture. Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. You'll gain immediate entry to all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. That's texture.com/Joey. Show's also brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now to get 20% off of your first order. You'll also save $8 by using the MeUndies subscription plan. And don't forget, the shipping is always free in the U.S. and Canada. That's MeUndies.com/Joey. to get 20% off of your order. This show is also brought to you by Honor.com. Go to Honor.com and use code word CHURCH to save 10% on all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Troop Tech Immune, and Troop Tech Sport.
Woo! I see that music, baby boy. Deep into the murky waters of the underworld. I'm letting you off the hook, people. That was crazy fucking podcast. Thank you.
Oh, stops there every stair. Snow drives by the foot that's slow. Dogs of doom are howling more. Oh, the carry news that must.